This show is
Really?
not for the easily offended, and show notice the explicit tag. If you don't like the curse words, fuck off.
Cata, fuck you.
Welcome to the WrestleCast, episode 43.
Each and every week, we bring together the top minds.
43?
Is it 43?
No, no, 46.
Time to on. 46, dummy. 46, dummy.
Welcome to the WrestleCast, episode 46, dummy. Each and every week, we can bring together the top minds that literally Heavy can find and have a roundup discussion about what is happening in the wrestling industry this week. If you want to join us in the conversation, there are three different ways. Follow us at DSJNPCOM on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. That is facebook.com/DSJNP. Or if you want to hear Devil Vamp screw up your email with his great reading skills, you can email us at DSJNP.com@gmail.com. Now here is your panel this week, hosted by Heavyset.
Does it taste good?
Does what taste good? The
your microphone.
That you're gobbling.
Is it that close?
Yeah.
Well, hopefully you can edit all that to that.
No, because that's editing. So that's a lot more editing than I'm willing to do or wanting to do or can do.
Let me do it again.
No, we're keeping it. Fuck it, we're doing it live.
Fuck it. We add an extra 18 minutes of silence at the end of the podcast to make up for it.
Yeah, I want to say this. Kata, fuck you. I want you to produce the podcast, so when you fuck something up, you just go into I'm just going to go into the GroupMe app and randomly bitch about it, instead of going to the person who did the show and said, hey, do you know that there's 18 minutes over? Because what happened was, if you've ever messed with Audacity, you have your set stuff during a show, ever accidentally take something and put it far off, so basically it doesn't appear in your normal window? Yeah, that's what it did, so that 18, if you listen all the way at the end, there's literally a couple second clip going, Wayne's water cooler, for some reason, got put out that far in the show.
Yeah, it's because you cut the silence out, and when you cut the silence out, it extended that part all the way out to the end.
No, that's not what happened.
He right, just well, explained
whatever
it.
Happened,
like, literally
way,
just
Kat
explained
is not,
it.
Kat is not man enough to have his own podcast. That's what's happened.
I mean, Kat probably have him on Cerebral Satire, and I won't listen, but then I will listen, no. And then you won't know what to, you won't know how to react when I hear the clip that I hear.
Oh, did you listen this week? You did, didn't you?
No, we played on Old Split the Movies.
Oh! Well, then you're fine with me, because Ant and I said that we loved that you were the one good guy on that fucking podcast that picked good movies.
Keep going on that clip. Keep going with what's said.
I didn't say anything about you being a fat bastard. That was Ant. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Ant. Motherfucker. Anyway.
To be fair, you do kind of look like Fat Bastard.
His name is Heavy Fucking Set.
Hey, let's get into the panel. Let's get into
has been derailed.
We got to introduce the panel.
Now he's talking like Sam Kinison.
I was going to say, did Sam just walk in the door?
I can't do his scream. I always loved his scream. Ah! I love it. Anyway, first, since I'm hosting the show, we got to introduce Wayne is not here. So we'll go with
Wayne. Love you.
So you've also heard Devil Vance's voice. I'm hosting on his show that he hosts.
Yes, that's how it goes. Yep.
And how many weeks in a row is this that you've been on?
Three, I think, right? Four.
So clearly the last episode you were on was 3.
I was going to say, I've been on the last two and you weren't on either.
Yeah. This is my third in a row, but I think 4 out of 5.
I've been busy. I've been working all 3 of those weeks, and then this week I'm in a cabin in the woods.
That's scary.
You're in a cabin in the woods?
A guy who doesn't like scary movies is in a cabin in the woods.
Yep, in a cabin in the woods, talking to my buddy Danny. Hey, Danny, what's going on?
How you doing?
See, told you.
Are we interviewing random people? Anyway. We also have Katie, the First Lady.
Yep, episode 46, last show of 2014, is off to a rousing start.
Super. We also have DRG.
Just so the people out there know, I don't connect, I deliver.
Yeah, and it's always a day late and a dollar short. Now, we also have the Mop Jockey.
Hi, folks.
And believe it or not, We have Biohazard this week, who was out at the beginning of the show!
Yay!
Woo!
He's been quiet this whole time.
He said, like, one thing.
Hey, I said two things. Get it right.
Yeah, come on, Zombie Megs, pick it up.
Yeah, because Devil Vamp likes to hit on him, too. Anyway.
Hey.
All right, we're going to start off with Keep Toss and Improve of the Week, and then we'll get into Keep Toss and Improve of the Year. But we'll start with Devil Vamp. Hey, it's your show. Do you wanna participate? We're gonna do random interviews.
God damn it! You know I haven't watched fucking Raw this week.
You've read spoilers. There's still others.
I have read spoilers. I heard the Authority came back this week.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, there's my keep. The Authority's back.
Honestly, Triple H.
No. What?
Love you, Triple H.
Fuck. Seriously. Honestly, where else were they going to go? Somebody tell me where else where they could have gone with that. They were out of fucking general managers. They couldn't pay anybody else because it's the end of the fucking fiscal quarter. What the fuck else were they going to do? They're going to bring back fucking Stephanie Triple H. I don't know how they did it, but they did it. There you go. Cool.
I love you, Triple H.
Keep that, bitch.
Well, thank you for coming back.
Oh, can you spit that water in my face, please?
If I was that close to Triple H, I wouldn't be talking to you bitches, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, because you...
You wouldn't.
Goddamn right, and I'd be making a lot more money than I'd be making right now. That's all I'm saying.
That's the wrong body part. You got to remember, he's licking the asshole. He's not sucking.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Tossing that salad.
Yeah. Stephanie's got the front. I got the back. DRG's totally right. and let me just assume what the toss is. The toss is Kane getting involved in anything and. At WWE. Fuck off, Kane.
Nope.
Fuck off, Kane.
Fuck off.
Kane even on the show?
Nope.
He wasn't on Raw.
There you go.
I think he was at that live event. They had two shows booking.
All right, let me think. Toss, I did watch NXT last week, but NXT is fucking awesome, so I can't complain about anything about that. I don't have anything on Toss. I'm good.
You can still complain about something about it. Don't be a fucking internet fan. NXT is so great. Oh, you know why you like it so much?
Fucking,
who runs it? Who runs it?
Fucking Bull Dempsey is fucking shit. Which he is shit, but...
No, he's not.
I know, Biohazard likes him because Biohazard looks just like him.
Wow, I am
scary,
so sorry.
But yeah.
I am so sorry.
He does look like him. He does look a little bit like him. He is a little bit more... Bull is
it's because I'm fat and white. Get over it. Moving on.
That's true. That's pretty true. You're tall. You're taller than Bull, at least.
I'm taller than Wayne, too, but that doesn't mean anything.
My dog's taller than Wayne.
Katie's taller than Wayne.
Right. Moving on.
Yeah. Yeah, we're done with Devil Vamp because he didn't get to watch the show, and he's been drinking and sucking on Triple H's dick, so... Katie!
I'm smoking a cigar right now.
Is that what you want to call it, Mr. President?
Monica Lewinsky.
Monica Vamp. All right, Katie, what is your keep to us improve?
Well, my keep is Raw in general. I thought it was a great show to end out the year from top to bottom. The ending was awesome. The little like tease of Daniel Bryan, will he or won't he retire, was great. And Edge and Christian were great as hosts, too. I just liked Raw in general.
That opening segment with Edge's video package was so good. They did so good with that.
For a brief second, I forgot Edge and Christian were hosting. And the only thing I remembered was the Daniel Bryan announcement. And then they showed that clip, and I was like, oh, no.
I know.
They're foreshadowing. I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay, Edge is going to be on. Okay, that's why they're playing it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't let it be foreshadowing. Please don't let it be foreshadowing.
I watched that last – well, I was there for that last Edge match because that last Edge match was in Atlanta for the WrestleMania 27. And my brother and I never thought for a second he was retiring at all. So to see the next night on Raw, to see him retire – was actually a very big shock to us, considering back the good, I wouldn't say great, but the good performance him and Alberto Del Rio put on at WrestleMania 27. You know, it was one of the best matches of the night comparatively to the other matches.
Anybody else got anything to say about Raw in general, even though that's probably going to encompass a lot of our keep toss and improves? Thanks, Katie.
All right. I guess my improve. I don't know if this would be an improve, but I just want to ask everybody this. What did we all think of the little speeches that Ryback and Cesaro gave?
That was going to be one of my keeps. I fucking love
Me
Ryback.
Too. Thanks, yeah. Katie. Thanks. Let's just throw all of Raw into Katie's section. I liked Cesaro's. I think that she kind of stumbled towards the end, but I don't think that it accomplished anything for him. Because after he came out and said his piece, you know, I don't connect, I deliver. It reminded me of what Chris Benoit was, because he was all about the wrestling. That he wasn't about the pyro. He wasn't about the big grandiose thing that Cesaro said in his statement. He was about the wrestling, and I don't think that Cesaro can get over the way that Benoit did, because I think it's a completely different generation that's all about the pyro and the showmanship and the story. They're not about wrestling the way that they used to.
See, I will disagree with you to a point. I think if he goes out there and is a badass, just physical being, I think he can get over just fine.
I would agree.
Yeah, at WrestleMania, if they did that. But it's that they had to stick with it, and a lot of things nowadays, they move too fast. Everything's changing. Within a week, they're on a different story that made no sense of why the first one ended. And I don't think they would stick with it that long.
Well, the problem is they're trying to horseshoe him into being a heel after getting those cheers and sticking Paul Heyman with him for heat. And that was just, it was fucking stupid.
You guys think that this has anything to do with McMahon saying what he said?
Yes.
Oh, totally.
What bothered me about that is even in that promo, because he could have gone with a face type mentality of, it's not all for y'all, the fans, it's for me to prove that I'm the best, yada, 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 and made it a bragging point for him. But he tried to play that heel snidey comment with what he was saying, that I don't care if I connect with y'all. All I care about is this and these four ropes. I mean, four sides. Like, it kind of screwed him up. But until they give him the full go out there and just dominate and don't worry about talking, he's not going to get over. Every time they keep trying to push him with gimmicks and stuff, it's not going to work.
Same problem with Roman Reigns. I heard he does great interviews, but he's still horrible in the mic when he comes out with the script to say.
Because it's fucking scripted.
Yeah.
The micromanaging to the point that... And, dude, they do choreographic of each match point by point by point. Cesaro has been wrestling and is talented enough. You go out there and give him the five basic things that you want to accomplish and let him call a match in the ring, I guarantee you he can give you a 10-minute match with his eyes closed. But they don't do that. They want everything point A to point B to point C, and it wrecks the way that he operates.
So what's the difference between him and Dean Ambrose, DRG? Because Dean Ambrose doesn't do that with his matches. He said that in multiple interviews, including the Chris Jericho interview, where he said, I don't go out planning anything. I go out and I talk to the guy in the ring, and that's what I do. If they don't like that in the back office, then forget them.
In those same interviews, he also talked about how they were in a different position, being the three of them versus the office. And they can't really, because they pushed him to the height so fast, they couldn't really say no to him. Think about that. If Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose go out there and say, no, we're not going to do that, and threaten to do whatever they want, they're going to bend over backwards to let him do it. Cesaro goes out there and does the same thing. He's going to get punished because he's not that important to the card yet, even if he could be.
But if he gets over, he won't be punished. I mean, it's all about, it's just like what McMahon said about The Rock being punished or Bret Hart being punished for bleeding Stone Cold or Shawn Michaels being punished for doing the suck it chant. You got to take your chances sooner or later. It's up to you to take those chances. So then again, it's up to Cesaro whether he's going to take the chances and get over or take the chances and be punished. It's up to him, right?
I also think it goes to the problems that are going on between the old regime of Vince McMahon and the new regime of Triple H. Triple H has come out and said, I want my guys to do unscripted promos, unscripted matches. Vince does not want that. Vince does not want to take that chance. So you've got the young guys trying to go unscripted, the old guys scripted. Somewhere they got to get on the same fucking page sometime.
It won't happen until McMahon croaks, because I honestly don't see him stepping away until he's in a hospital bed.
So, Mop, you're saying some guys are falling underneath Triple H, which is Dean Ambrose, Bray Wyatt, Seth Rollins, but Cesaro has somehow fallen underneath McMahon.
I think Cesaro's fallen under all of them, and he's just
trying to find out which one to go for.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I don't think either one's claiming. Like, Roman Reigns was claimed by Vince McMahon. You know that. Ryback was claimed by Vince McMahon.
Yeah, it looks just like,
Right. So it seems like the guys that are Vince McMahon guys they're all scripted and kind of... And it's the same problem I had with Ryback when he first started. His fucking promos, you could tell he was just reading a fucking script. But it seems like they've gotten away with that with Ryback. We just got to get Reigns away from reading a fucking script.
I think that's one of the things that baffles me with WWE is you know that they sit there and watch these guys cutting promos. Stephanie McMahon said it herself, that they send promo tapes in to show how well they deliver. You know what they can do when they're talking on their own. Give them bullet points and let them make the magic that you hired them for.
All right, that kills that topic. okay, that was all of Katie. I'm going to go to Biohazard next, because we totally fucked him over last week.
All right, well, for me, it's a toss, but it's also an improve as well. Like, okay. Brian's announcement about being in the Royal Rumble, I think they could have just kept it off TV and been a surprise return at the Rumble, and it would have made it that more special, because you wouldn't have expected it, because I didn't expect him to make that announcement that he was going to be in it. If he was actually just came out during the match, it would have been, for me, it would have been that more special.
I completely agree with you, and that was going to be my toss. Of, you know, that far as it seems like that could have waited, but I think they wanted to make this Raw somewhat special to get people ready for next year, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's something with ticket sales, because normally when they announce something this far out, granted, you know, it's not that long far away, but there has to be, like, some slumping ticket sales or something that they're having to work with.
Well, you also have to account that this is the first Monday without a Monday Night Football game. And let's be honest, the only reason I watched live last night was to see what Daniel Bryan was going to say, period. Mm-hmm. I haven't watched Raw live in months. I always DVR it and fast forward all the bullshit. I actually watched it to see what Daniel Bryan had to say.
Yeah, I thought it was a good speech. I mean, he got emotional talking about his father, and you could tell it was all real coming from him. And he needed, like, that feel-good moment. I mean, there were a couple others, but I liked what he said, and I'm glad he's able to wrestle again. I can't wait.
And fuck him for making me think he was done. I swore. Yeah. I even texted Heavy. I was like, dude, if they're putting him on last, he's done. And it just kept going. I'm like, this is bad. This is bad.
Is this better than the Mark Henry one?
No, I don't
know. Mark Henry's really good.
That's what I do. Yeah.
The one note that I put down here is that it was an excellent segment because it was so emotional. And that speech, every word that he said drew everybody in. And when he had that crowd, think about how passionate that crowd was involved whenever he started getting close to saying he even might retire. They went crazy, but that emotion that was involved with it made that segment excellent.
Well, you could kind of tell right before he said he was going to be in the Rumble, the crowd was kind of like, you're doing what? And then he said he was going to be in it, and that fucking crowd just blew up. It was fantastic.
Like one big relief. Like people were just like, oh, thank God.
Exactly. Kind of like The Undertaker losing. It was kind of one of those, what?
What is your keep, I guess?
I think I said this 2 weeks ago, and last night pretty much brought the point home with Seth Rollins as his heel build continues. Just at the end where he forced Cena's hand to bring back the Authority, that whole segment, it got a little stale at one point, but it delivered the point, and it, you know, essentially brought back the Authority. Just his little line of, you should have known better, I'm going to kill him anyways, and then went in for the curb stomp. It was gold. I'm sold on Seth Rollins right now.
Me, Mop, and Shane were having fun during that segment. Like, we were actually talking about how, of course, he goes after, they actually hit Christian, knock him down, and then do what they did with Edge, because if it would have been the other way around, you know, that could have gone just horribly wrong.
And it made sense prior to that in that segment where they were backstage, him and Cena were talking, and that was sort of a tease and stuff, so it made sense for Edge to be in that position, and it worked out really well.
Well, they set it up all night long, because even when Heyman came out with Brock to open the show, he said, you know, we've got a guy who's damn near crippled and a guy who's had so many concussions, he shouldn't be here, you know. They played it up all night long to get the emotional investment, which is really good story that one night story that lasted all the way through.
Yeah.
All right, DRG, what is your keep, toss, and improve?
My keep of the week.
I don't care.
My keep of the week is It's a Wonderful Ryback. because his life story being told was so... you could see the fans go from chanting what at him to actually stopping and listening. And he had one line in there. I don't remember exactly how it went, but he said, you know, this isn't a USA versus Russia thing. This is one big guy kicking another big guy's ass. Like, that line right there, I was like, yes, very good. I can get behind a guy like this.
First off, fuck you for taking mine. And secondly, you actually felt something for him. It wasn't just he's going out whooping somebody. No, you felt emotions for him, which is something we should feel for every fucking buddy on the roster, but they don't do that for some reason.
That part where he pulled up his pant leg and showed off his scar from that broken ankle is what sealed it for me.
Yeah. It was
the thing that what got me was the fact that they actually acknowledged him being in Tough Enough, mm-hmm. him being a part of the Nexus, and all that kind of stuff. It's something they've never done before to some of these characters. Like, they've never had, like, Dolph come out and have him say, yes, I was a part of the Spirit Squad.
I was Kerwin White Patty.
Didn't they actually mention that when he won a title and they were like, yeah, he was a one time when he was with the Spirit Squad. So they did mention it.
I don't think that, as far as what I remember, they've never mentioned him being a tag team champion. Because I remember actually somebody bitching about that, like, oh, he's tag team champion. He was tag team champion. Why did they mention him? Like, well, because he was that as technically a different character. That's why they've never mentioned it.
Yeah, and it was nice that they actually mentioned the other, that it wasn't him as Ryback. It was his past gimmicks too. They actually said that.
Yeah, you were going to say, Katie?
I'm agreeing with you on the Dolph Ziggler thing. They might have mentioned it, but not to the extent the way Ryback's was. And I liked what he did. I mean, the scar on his leg was brutal and everything. But, it was good. It got people more interested in him. So it opened more connection to the audience.
And he kind of
said it ran too long. Because I heard a lot of people saying that it went too long because they had both video packages and him continuing the story. Did it go too long for anybody?
That's snarky internet fans, as always.
I agree, but that's why I'm asking the panel of smart people if they would agree with that.
Well, I disagree with the smart, but yeah, no, I didn't think it was long at all.
Yeah, it was the right amount of time. If I understand what it was used for, and like you guys said, it does bring up the connection to the audience to help him get over more, but I am still not a fan of Ryback.
And they chopped it up with video set clips, actually showing like stuff of the Nexus, actually showing the Tough Enough, which actually someone posted in GroupMe sometime during the week of a clip from that Tough Enough series, because I remember I was actually a huge Pewter fan, and not him in UFC, but him just coming to WWE. I thought he was going to be amazing. He was my big guy to win, and obviously he did win, but he didn't do shit. But I totally forgot that Ryback was in it.
What about Bray? Did you forget Bray was in it?
A little husky.
He wasn't in that Tough Enough. He was next. Yeah.
Sorry. You started talking. I just completely stopped listening.
Hey, you know what? Since I'm on the board. Right, moving on.
And, hey, DRG, what's going on?
What? Why isn't DRG? Oh, because I kicked him off the call. Anyway.
Fucking asshole.
Why the fuck did you kick DRG off the call?
Because he's a dick.
You can bring him back. He's there. He is.
You asshole. Yeah, I started laughing. That was funny.
Oh, we do that shit to Shane all the time. Especially on Xbox. We'll invite him to a party. He joins and we kick him.
Oh, man. All right, so do you want to know what my toss of the week is?
Is it you from this call? Or is that going to be your keep?
That's going to be my keep, man. That was hilarious. Toss of the week, Mizdow title loss. I'm sorry, I do not understand how the Usos played Miz just because what's-her-name went in the back and thanked him. I get the setup for breaking up and causing the tension between Mizdow and Miz. They could have done it better. And the fact that they're playing up that he shoved him, how many times has he moved him in the way of anything, and now this one time that it was a super kick, all of a sudden it's even different?
Well, you also have to take into account who debuted on Raw this week as heels.
No, I don't want to talk about Kratos' face.
But no, we don't. But we have. You have to take that into account. You can't keep the belts on heels and then have the heel team come up and take them. You had to put it back on the babyface team so that reject warriors can come get it.
I don't think they're heels, though.
Oh, they've got to be heels.
That's the thing. People are, they see somebody in NXT, when they come up, they think they're going to keep, always keep the same gimmick, and if they're going to come in, they leave as a face, they're going to come in as a face.
But they leave keep as a heel, same gimmick.
I'm saying in general. People said this, see the same thing about, would have said the same thing about Dean Ambrose before he entered, but they changed his gimmick, because people always assume when they enter the main roster.
But they didn't change the Ascension's gimmick, and if you're saying that,
but I'm saying that, shut up, I will kick you off this call again. I'm saying that it's people have that assumption, and I'm also saying the assumption that goes with it is people think that if they leave NXT face or heel, they're going to come back in for the main roster the exact same way.
Is that a
for example? Gimmick? For example, Paige. She left NXT as a heel. Whenever she came up, oh, she's a heel. No, she came up as a face.
Actually, she left NXT as a baby face, I believe.
Yeah, she did.
Face?
Yeah.
Thought she was kind of heel, though.
She started heel, but then she started, who was it the main girls were picking on? Yeah, she started siding with them.
Yeah, she had Charlotte's whole role before Charlotte had it. But my point is the Ascension a face gimmick? Can they make that gimmick a face?
With faces like them, no.
with that entrance and the attitude and the whole aura of the way they dress, that's a heel gimmick. I don't see that until you get enough time that the crowd gets behind them. You can't just introduce that as a face gimmick.
Yeah, because when I watched it, I don't think there was no reaction to them when they debuted. I think the whole debut felt
there was
flat.
A reaction. At my house, no, there's shit and having a tantrum, there was a reaction.
There's going to be no reaction when people debut from NXT unless you do it on the Raw after WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Other than that, there will be no reaction because not enough people watch NXT.
I reacted too. I yawned.
My thing is, yes, I get that they have to have the heel people chase the faces, but just because they introduced the Ascension right now doesn't mean, like, they could have put fodder in front of them, be it the Los Matadores or the new Masters of the WWE Universe, which apparently they dropped. There could have been other things that they could have put in front of them before just saying, okay,
that
we gotta
wasn't
get...
also, what? don't be an internet fan.
I can't help.
I'm gonna
on a podcast that's on the internet.
Everybody bitched about that whole Masters of the Universe thing. That I'm betting that was just something Tyson Kidd and Cesaro were using, like calling themselves. They aren't going to actually use it because of copyright.
I agree.
That is the reason why Cesaro was never called the Swiss Superman. Because WWE, as much as some idiots like to say, like, oh, WWE could pay that. Pay to use, you know, pay to use Superman and pay to use Masters of the Universe. Well, guess what? They would rather just pay the normal fee to use to register a trademark than to not only to register it, but also to give somebody's permission.
And
because then they have to split shit with them. No, they wanted all the money for themselves.
And I also think for, like, trademarking stuff, you have to pay every time you use it. So every time they say Superman, they would have to chunk over X number of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
They ain't doing that.
Mm-hmm. That's why they will not use Masters of the Universe. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I'm just guessing that is what Cesaro and Kid were just using on online of saying, hey,
I get that.
We're the Masters of the WWE Universe.
The whole point of what I'm saying is that there could have been other tag teams used as fodder without automatically jumping the shark and taking the titles off Mizdow to run that split. They had something in Miz and Mizdow's little rivalry or whatever you want to call it going on, which was hilarious when they were talking to Edge backstage, but they blew a lot of the opportunity by taking the belts off instead of using the belts as the motivation for the split. You know what I mean? And they could make up for it. Don't get me wrong. There's plenty to still work with there. I just don't like the way that they did it and they played it up as the Usos got the one up on the Mizdow. I didn't like that.
They don't, Mizdow doesn't need a belt. They're going to fight because Mizdow is more popular than Miz. That's what it's going to be over. It's not going to be over belts or anything else.
I agree. But having that belt on there, Miz has something to brag about. I have these champions. I have this Slammy. I am this team.
But he already had that with the movie, and you can use the belts to raise up a new tag team.
I've never seen the movie. I haven't seen the either. Belt, but I've never seen the movie. So at least
but
with
he can
the belt,
remind you. He can remind you every single week, like he does. He is an A-list star.
I get it. It's just, to me, I see that they still can finish out this story. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they can't. I just think that they could have done better without just giving the belts back to the Usos with no real reason behind it.
Well,
and can you tell me, what's the reason that the Usos now have the belts back? Because his wife played Miz somehow?
Well,
Hold on. You want to know why?
Why?
Keep watching.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
there's like stuff that people complain about. Guess what? Wait. Just wait. Let those two storylines play out. Let the tag team titles play out of what the hell the Usos are going to do next, and Miz and Miz Dow.
Right, but the segment that we're in is keep, toss, or improve of this week, and I'm wanting to toss that for this week, not what could happen 2 weeks from now. It might be my keep 2 weeks from now, but right now, it's my toss.
And then we'll wait a while and see what you think later.
Exactly.
Right, moving on, Mott.
Keep Ryback and all of the emotion that was in this episode of Raw. It was just, I mean, that's what I watch for. I watch to get emotionally invested in a story. Not, I mean, the wrestling's fine, whatever. I want to care what I'm watching, and I don't feel like I've cared for quite a while.
I agree, 100%. They did really, really well with this end of the year episode,
and it's very refreshing that they're letting these guys speak their mind the way they are, because you know Ryback didn't have a script, and you know Daniel Bryan didn't have a script, and they were allowed to go out and say it how they felt, you know.
And let's just admit it. At the end of Ryback's promo, when he was saying "Feed me more," what he was really meaning was "Fuck you, Punk."
You know what though? It was nice that he didn't take the shot at him though.
Right.
He didn't, but to me that was just one big subliminal.
It may have been, but he didn't take the direct lowball shot at him that he could have.
Yeah.
Of course, all you Punk fans will take it that way.
Oh, I'm not. Don't get me wrong. I am not a Punk fan. Not even a little bit.
No. I wasn't saying you were a mop. I was talking about fucking Heavy and Katie being Punk fans, thinking it was all about Punk.
That's what we think.
It's
because
not
you're Punk fans.
Shut the fuck up. It's not that because you're Punk fans. To me, that had to happen almost in spite of Punk. Because why would they had never put Ryback in that kind of position. Ever. All the time he's been with WWE, nothing like that has happened.
He had that one little segment, the little backstage pass segment that he did after his debut, where he talked about how great the fans were and almost started crying. That's the first bit of emotion I've ever seen out of him. And then they let him do it again on TV this time.
Yeah, they did nothing actually on TV. The backstage pass stuff
true.
And other stuff.
That's not true. He hugged Vicky Guerrero.
But you have to admit that, Mr. Cynic. You have to be able to look at that and go, yeah, the whole thing was, but it's like, that's WWE or Ryback in general trying to prove him wrong. Trying to prove everything that Punk said about him was wrong.
Oh, yes, definitely. Well, and honestly, I had heard most of it.
Ironically, before. I wasn't talking about you when
I
said Mr. Cynic.
it can apply to me, too, because I'm very cynical about things. But
I know you are.
I had heard most of what he had already said, because he said the same things on Jericho's podcast, and he took the same route with Punk. He didn't take a shot at Punk. He took the high road, and I can respect that.
He actually seems to be doing that a lot. The first radio interview that I heard was after everything that happened, and like someone brought it up, and he basically kind of said that Punk was wrong, and he didn't like bash him or anything, just like, you know, that information is wrong.
And I mean, to be fair on that Punk fucking bullshit, that was my only problem with Punk's entire 2-hour rant. Why you got to call out Ryback? It's not like Ryback's the only one that hurts people. Things happen in a ring. Why you got to call one guy out for that?
Why didn't you call it Jack Swagger?
No shit.
You know, Jack Swagger just hurts all these wrestlers.
I just love the fact
but then,
that he technically called out Daniel Bryan without saying Daniel Bryan's name.
Yeah.
With the whole gouging my eyes after laser surgery, but never mentioned the name of who it was.
But he called out Ryback by name and specifics. Yeah.
Right, exactly. He protected the people that he likes, and the person that he doesn't like, he puts on crucifix.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Very shitty.
But what I was saying, like, he could have called out, you know, Jack Swagger, because, you know, everybody knows Jack Swagger hurts people. He hurts Wade Barrett. He hurts Dolph Ziggler. But then you could be a hypocrite and your favorite wrestler could be AJ Styles. Not naming anybody listening, not pointing any fingers.
Come on now, he's only broke two necks this year. It's not a big deal.
Wait a minute, I thought it was more than two.
No, the other guy didn't get his neck broke, it just hurts really bad.
He's had four incidences since technically walking out of TNA's house show rotation. When he started doing the stuff with PCW and Lionheart is when it started. But the thing is, if you watch those, much like with, I'm trying to think of somebody who had that same thing. The reason why AJ's had those accidents is because people are tucking their chin instead of putting their head back. Yeah.
But
So what you're saying, it's the wrestler's fault. So well, like when Wade Barrett hit the barricade,
but that's
that could have been Wade Barrett's fault.
That's a different scenario.
Between doing a move that he did for 12 years in TNA without having a single incident because those guys knew how to take the maneuver versus guys who are saying they know how to take it, and when it comes down to it, they get scared or flinch or freak for whatever reason and cause that accident. It's not him doing it because he's not smart enough or not talented enough or not strong enough. There has been one time, and I can't remember who he was facing, I think it was this last time, he didn't have the second leg fully around the arm whenever he went for the move. That was on AJ. All the other ones have been the opponent tucking their chin, and if you watch and go back, Roderick Strong has admitted to this. Lionheart from PCW admitted that it was his fault. You don't see Wade Barrett saying, hey, it's my fault that this happened, because to them, it's just an accident of being involved high speed. The only people that have come out and accosted AJ for it are us fans. The guys that he works with understand that it was their fault. So why, as we as fans saying, oh, AJ, you're bad because you did this and you did that, when the people who are trained in the match with him are saying that it's their fault.
I'm not saying AJ's bad. I'm saying for a wrestling fan to criticize Jack Swagger, but idolize AJ Styles as being a hypocrite.
I see where you're going with it. I don't think that, like, I guess it depends on the perspective of, like, the concussion with Dolph Ziggler. Do you blame that on Dolph being too close or leaning into the kick, or do you blame it on Jack Swagger for botching it?
You could also just say shit happens while you're in the middle of a match.
Exactly.
That one I consider an accident kind of on both parts. Maybe I'd put it more towards Swagger. But everybody has those kind of accidents. But right. To point at the second one, to point at Wade Barrett and say, oh, he injured Wade Barrett. Why? Wade Barrett has probably taken that millions of times before. Odds are he fucked up. They both fucked up. But Wade Barrett was the one taking the fall.
Right. I don't think that Swagger sandbagged Barrett. I don't think that he sandbagged Ziggler. I don't think AJ sandbagged any of the other guys. I just think that all of these incidences are a testimony to how hard these guys work to the point that they were willing to risk things. And sometimes when you put that much risk on your body, bad things happen. There's no reason in isolating Jack Swagger or isolating Ryback or isolating AJ Styles, because they are doing it as professionally as they can. But it's still a high-impact, high-risk sport.
Yeah, when you're talking about guys at this level, nobody's going out there to hurt each other. I mean, you know, we can find the indie shows where guys are actually going out trying to hurt someone. They're not doing it at this level. It would be stupid to do it.
Exactly. They have the business mindset. The longer that their opponent lasts, the longer they can make money with that opponent.
It's not the NFL, guys.
What are you talking about?
The NFL, where people actually go out and...
This isn't Easy Picks. We're on DSJMP. Has it been that long since you've been on?
It's been that long.
I always call this one WrestleCast. Technically, isn't DSJMP the collective unit of all of them?
Yes, it is. It's WrestleCast. But I'm just saying.
Okay, well,
NFL,
it's at DSJMP.
Who got hurt someone on purpose? Yes. Meant to be. Who's that player, Mac? Who's that guy that you and I were talking about that went out and
Sayo?
Stepped on someone with a...
Come on now. We are not having this discussion.
Not again. Not like last time.
Well, you do know they overturned that and he's not suspended because it wasn't on fucking purpose.
Whatever.
Now, the Raiola one the week before where he, like, clearly stomped on the guy, yeah, that was intentional.
Actually, if you want to point towards any sport of purposely wanting to hurt each other, That's when you go to hockey.
Or soccer.
MMA. Football, and yeah, Shane Kerwin broke that dude's arm and said that he always wanted to break somebody's arm in the ring. That's somebody wanting to actually hurt somebody.
Yeah, but Punk wants to take some time off and heal up so he can go get beat up.
Wow. I'm falling asleep. Yes, I'm falling asleep.
Sorry, we won't miss you. We've been, what, 3 weeks without you so far?
Yeah.
Oh, let's see if we're going to see DIG next week, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, come on, Vamp. You know you love me.
Do what I did. Let him send in an email and fuck it up. And tell him it was on accident. All right, Mop, what is your last one? Because technically everybody's said all mine. There's no need to.
Yeah, a toss. I mean, I really was. I mean, you could toss out some of the matches that were on Raw, but in anything to do with the Diva. Although yeah, sure. Although the wedgie that Natalya gave Nikki was pretty nice.
All right, let's get into Keep Toss and Improve of the Year. And we will start with Wayne as a... Oh, no. Devil Vamp, since you've been so fun tonight, what is your Keep Toss and Improve of the Year?
Oh, you're so... You're so fucking... Oh, listen to that. It's the dog.
Wake up, Heavy. We're doing a show.
Fucking hell. What are you doing? No, my Keep Toss and Improve of the Year, my Keep of the Year is definitely, and I know Wayne is going to hate this, Baron Corbin. And they did not address it on Second Shift this week, but I will ask you guys the same question. Should he not speak until he wins a title?
Until spoken to?
Sort of.
I thought the same thing, Mop.
You could actually say that. Should he not speak until spoken to or until winning a title? I don't think he should speak until he has a mouthpiece and he wins a title.
I don't have a problem with him not talking because he's got that aura about him where he doesn't need to talk, but it's the WWE and they have to force people to talk because, well, that's the only way you can get over as a wrestler is you have to be able to cut a promo. Bullshit.
You sound like Mr. Mackey.
Undertaker didn't talk for fucking what, like a year, Mop, right?
He said rest in peace.
I don't think he said that in a year. I don't think he said that within a year.
Yeah, it was Buddy Love, Paul Bear.
He still had to cut a promo.
It was Brother Love, not Paul.
Brother Love, and then it was Paul Bear, and then that was it. I don't think he spoke a word for a year almost.
He said rest in peace a lot.
Yeah.
So but was Brett Patterson gay?
Do you know that before a year?
Possibly. Like, you could ask me. I have a collection.
Well, how long? How long, Katie? You're the guru of everyone in the entire fucking world about wrestling. How long did he speak? How long from the time he debuted at SummerSlam or Survivor Series until he actually spoke a fucking word?
Okay. Well, he debuted at Survivor Series, so he started talking pretty much like about a month or so after that. I remember in promos in 91 and stuff.
When did they do the actual set for his, like the Piper's Pit type set for him?
Funeral Parlor?
No, not the one with Paul Bearer. I thought they did one. It was just him.
No, I think it was just the Paul Bearer, the Funeral Parlor.
Was it just the Funeral? I thought they had one where he had like a throne he sat on.
That was the yard.
That was the Ministry of Darkness thing.
Was that later?
That was later. Yeah.
I have a lot of jumbled memories.
In all honesty, Baron Corbin can last without talking until he gets a championship. I don't think that you wait until he's spoken to because technically Bull Dempsey's already talked to him, so he should have said something. But I don't necessarily think that the kid needs a mouthpiece because we don't know if he can talk or not. He hasn't said anything. So why are you going to say just because he hasn't said anything, he needs a mouthpiece? That's not necessarily true.
You know the guy is very intelligent. He has a college degree. You can't be stupid and have a college degree. Never mind. But
actually, you can.
Yeah, that's true. But maybe he hasn't spoken because there's no need for him to speak yet.
Exactly. You are on. That's perfect.
In the long haul, I do gotta disagree with you, Mom. Yes, you do have to be able to cut a promo to connect to the audience. But sometimes those promos can wait.
If I remember right,
to connect with the WWE,
or you have to have a mouthpiece.
The Ultimate Warrior, his promos made no fucking sense and were complete nonsense, awesome. But yet connected with the fans because of his energy and his just his aura.
Goldberg.
Baron Corbin can do the same thing.
He can. As far as I can tell, there's no date as far as, like, no one logged days that he actually cut a promo.
I'm sure he's worked on it. I'm sure that they're working on it in the back area. But is the character right now, there's no need. What's he going to say? I'm going to kick your ass.
Either he wins the NXT title and he gets a manager to speak for him, or he wins the Intercontinental or the U.S. Championship and he gets a manager to speak for him. I don't think he should speak until he gets a World Heavyweight title. My opinion. My opinion. That's just mine. My opinion.
Okay.
Best, best of the year. Baron Corbin, best of the year. Best character that was introduced. Everyone's talking about him. Everyone's thinking what he should do or what he shouldn't do.
You're talking about him.
I am talking about him.
I love the dude, but I don't know if I would go best of the year for him.
That's me. Best of the year. I can't think of anybody that was any better. Improve of the year? Improve of the year is definitely Ziggler. I think they buried him the first part of the year. They've improved on him the latter part of the year. I think they should. They should still keep improving, keep going the exact same route he's going now. Just keep going. Fuck off. That's my opinion. I don't care what you say. My fucking opinion. You want my opinion? That's my opinion. They buried him the first part of the year.
Are you fucking stupid?
Him.
Are you fucking stupid as fucking drunk? No, because I asked why. Why? I said, how did they bury him? And he was like, it's my fucking opinion. No, I'm asking, how did you get your fucking opinion? Take the fucking cigar out of your ass, you dumb motherfucker.
I didn't hear you say why.
It's because you were talking.
Because you got the fucking cock in your mouth. God damn. I asked you why. Why? Just why? Is this what we do on the show? We talk. Why? Why? How is he buried? How was he buried? Tell me. How? It's my opinion. How did you get to that conclusion? When you were in school, when they say show your work, did you say, no, that's how I got it. It's my answer.
But speak, I will say.
No, you know how it feels, motherfucker.
I already know how it feels, Debbie. I've talked to you once.
Oh my god. I get kicked off the call for making some random comment about not listening to Heavy, and Van just slightly ignores him and he's a rant.
My podcast.
That was awesome.
Any shots, any respect, any wins in the beginning part of this year, and he should have. He should have started after WrestleMania. It should have started been a slow build, and it wasn't. It wasn't until SummerSlam until Survivor Series that he get a serious shot at becoming the world champion. It wasn't until Survivor Series where he took on all those guys at once and pinned all those guys and carried that fucking John Cena party, the team, and kept going on until then. That's the only time where we saw him get any respect whatsoever. It was him and Luke Harper that put on the fucking greatest match at TLC. That was it. That was the best match at TLC. Mop said it. Fucking I said it. Fucking Wayne said it. Everybody said it. It was the best match. Fuck, it was one of the best ladder matches I've ever seen in my life. Better than Razor Ramon and Shawn Michaels. It was just a great ladder match. And that's what he can do every single night. And they just shit on it. And me and Biohazard even said it. They put on the best match of the night when we went and saw the live event. Both of us said it. And he needed that push throughout the entire year. And he only got it for 6 months. That's my improve. He should have got it the entire year, not just the 6 months. Or not just the last month or so.
Because they're not using you does not mean you're getting buried.
I didn't say he was getting buried. I said the push. The push should have been better. That's what I said.
In my opinion, he falls under the Mr. Perfect. He is so good at putting other people over, they're going to use him as that.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. The only problem is, I don't think they should use him like that. They could use someone else like that. They can use Ryback. Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler is a money maker. There was multiple fucking people in that crowd at that live event in Augusta that wanted to see him, wanted to touch him. He went around the ring twice to give kids high five, to give people high fives. That's a future John Cena right there, and you're wasting his fucking talent. You're wasting his 30s.
But you're saying that anybody can do that. Not anybody can do what Dolph does. Dolph puts guys over that in an unbelievable way. Ryback, there's no way that's going to be able to put over like that. Any heel that goes up against Dolph Ziggler is going to get instant heat, which is what they fucking want. So they're using him in that capacity.
And doing well.
And Dolph has proven the machine wrong at the right time. And that's why, in my opinion, of why you're seeing what you're seeing now. Because the biggest concern with him was his health. Of his, if he's going to get concussions and whatnot, and how he's going to be able to hold up with everything. Well, Daniel Bryan goes out, Roman Reigns goes out. Who's the one person they start pushing at that moment?
Cesaro.
Yeah.
But
I'm sure in the back of their mind, it's still, if he gets one more, they're not afraid to pull him off of TV. They've done it with Corey Graves. Christian announced his retirement because of concussions.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. It's in WWE, it's a 3-strike rule.
Exactly. He's already had two.
And that is one reason why he was not used to as much of his potential.
Right.
But the thing is, they've been using him a lot more at the right time when two of the biggest stars in WWE or two of the biggest future stars, people that they're building towards, all of a sudden can't be used, and they need to use somebody that wasn't a part of the Shield.
And that is pretty much.
Go ahead, Mark.
I was just going to say that's pretty much what Vince was saying in that interview. You got to step up when the time's right, and Dolph did it. So, in my eyes, they're going to use him more going forward in that role until the other concussion comes.
I will agree with Vamp that at the first of this year, it appeared that Dolph Ziggler's stock had dropped so far down that people who were fans of him were just going, why not this guy? Yes, it could have been due to injuries. It could have been due to him mouthing off like everybody says he did in interviews. It could be due to a thousand different reasons. But just because his stock dropped that low, all those who bought in and got behind him are getting a bigger payoff now because once he did become trusted by the authority for whatever reason they didn't trust him for, you're seeing him in these high profile positions. I don't necessarily think that it'd be a toss for me because I kind of predicted that Ziggler would go down further in stock before rising up. But it's because of the things that I saw out of him with the injury stuff. Now he's at that point to where he's so much better that you can't claim that he's going to fall off again unless another injury happens or he does pop off so bad that it pisses everybody off.
Well, you still got to take into account that there's only one title and that title picture is very clouded right now, very clogged up. Where higher can he go?
Nowhere right now.
Exactly. He is literally as high as he can get at the moment.
Mm-hmm. And for all those people that claim that they want the IC championship to be the stepping stone, Dolph is proof that those guys that are right there on the cusp before they break into that world scene, he's going to hold that title and make people by using it. And when his time comes, he's going to hit the world heavyweight scene and just hit it running. He's going to use the IC belt to get there the way that everybody says the IC belt should be used for. So I don't understand why it's a big deal that he's holding that strap right now.
Right, moving on. Katie, now that you're back, what is your keep, toss, and improve of the year?
My keep is Daniel Bryan having his moment at WrestleMania. I thought the whole build-up between him and the authority, Triple H, was great. The fans connected to him so closely. I mean, they were so pissed and he wasn't in the Rumble. And he opened WrestleMania and closed WrestleMania, and it was just such a good moment for him.
Yeah, that was actually going to be my keep of the year also. Just
that
image of him holding up the belts at the end of Mania was just awesome.
It reminded me of Shawn Michaels and that iconic image of him having his boyhood dream fulfilled. That's going to be a moment that lasts in this generation's memory moving forward the way that Michaels lasted in my generation's moving forward.
To me, it actually reminded me more of Brett. And I think it's because he had
He had
two matches in one night, except I don't think Brett Nolan, or wait a minute, did Brett Nolan start the card? I know they were towards the beginning, but I don't think they were the first.
Talk about the Yokozuna win?
Yeah.
They started off the card with the cage match, wasn't it? Oh, no, that was SummerSlam.
No, yeah, I'm talking WrestleMania 10. I know
Ask Katie, she knows.
It's like Brett and Owen in the ladder match are at the beginning of the card, and one of them's the first one, the other one's the second one. I don't remember which is which. I want to say they put Brett on first.
I think so. It sounds like it might be right.
I mean, all but besides Owen won that one. Like, it was, that's what it reminded me of.
Mm-hmm. Either way, it was fucking
my
awesome.
Opinion heavy. It was my opinion. Yeah, you're right, Katie. That was definitely something worth keeping this year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and my improve is actually the Brock Lesnar Undertaker match. I mean, I understand Undertaker got a concussion, but I felt it should have been a better match for the streak to be ending. I felt it was too short, but in the end, I mean, it accomplished what it was. I just felt the match should have been better.
Yeah, I think that they actually would have changed that in mid-match if Taker would have been unable to compete moving forward. Like, would they have said, this can't work out the way that we want it to? Let's scrap it in the middle. We'll do it next year.
Mm-hmm.
I think the build-up for it could have been a little better, too.
Well the build-up was what it was. They didn't want you to think that Brock was... They wanted that to be what it was a complete fucking shock.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, they built that match up like Brock was going to win. Everybody was in denial about it, though.
Uh-huh.
Clearly.
Because, like I said before, I think Dave pointed out when we did the preview show for WrestleMania this year. And he was basically like, yeah, this build has been backwards. Guess what that backwards belt meant? That fucking Brock was winning.
Yeah.
Because we were all expecting Undertaker to win because, hey, he's won so many in a fucking row. Let's figure, okay, he's going to win the next one.
Mm-hmm. And but, yeah, he accomplished so much by doing that one moment.
It is kind of a shame that essentially that's probably his last match. I just don't see a point in him coming back at this WrestleMania. So, yeah, it is kind of a shame that that is kind of the last image of Undertaker, but...
Yes, Brett and Owen was the first match of the night, not counting the pre-show match.
See, if only we were doing a quiz right now, you'd have beat Katie.
Google is a fantastic thing.
No, Wikipedia is a fantastic thing.
Oh.
All right, Biohazard, what is your keep, toss, and prove of the year?
I'm going to keep the announcement of Global Force Wrestling. The fact that they're going to have all these different companies around the world under one roof, having just guys from New Japan, guys from, I believe it's AAA, they got South Africa, Australia, and they're going to have their own show, according to what Jeff Jarrett said. And I feel like once they have their own show, we might actually see another wrestling boom.
We won't.
Why not?
Because I don't care about Japanese wrestling. I don't care about Mexican wrestling. I care about American wrestling.
Do you care about English wrestling? Like all the guys in the UK, like Wade Barrett or Sheamus or Cesaro?
Nope.
You don't care about it?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
So all you're buying is America.
So if they were to put on an English commentary Japanese match on US TV and played it just like TNA and WWE does, you wouldn't watch it?
No, because I base it on what Kata talks about in his fucking phone calls to the AWWIR, and that's all fucking gibberish and nonsense, and I don't care about what's going on with it. If you show it to me, and it's fucking plain English to me, I will care about it with a storyline and maybe some people.
That's what GFW is supposed to be.
It's not going to do it.
Narrow-minded.
I'm not. It's just not going to happen.
I was the same way a month ago. This past week, I've been watching a lot of New Japan stuff, and I'm sold. I might actually buy this pay-per-view just off of how highly they've talked about it. I watched a lot of Bullet Club stuff this week, and right now, as of this moment, they're my favorite stable in wrestling just because of their promos. I watched Wrestle Kingdom 8 with the tag team title match. They were gold, and the fact that they referenced the NWO a lot, which is my favorite stable of all time.
You don't say.
That's not my profile picture or anything, but it's just so, you have to watch it to understand why. If you like good wrestling, even just matches, they're going to go in, you can go watch the GFW YouTube channel, and it'll give you the backstory on all the matches, why they're happening, and there's your storyline to it. GFW is going to take that a step further with their own show.
I personally don't care for like New Japan and all that stuff.
I just
cannot get into it.
I've been following New Japan for the longest time, and I get what you're saying, Vamp, that you don't understand where Kata's coming from, but there was a point in time where Kata didn't understand where I was coming from when I introduced him to New Japan and told him, I understand it's hard at first to get it, but keep watching and you'll start seeing it because the story being told in the ring translates past the Japanese commentary. The story of Goto and Shibata and their childhood, the fact that they grew up in this business together is translated past the commentary telling you about it. But with GFW coming out and saying that we're going to provide you that information without you having to watch everything in the match to understand what's going on, they are going to give you the ABCs of this the way that you're saying, until they give it to me, I'm not going to be interested in it. Well, that's what GFW is telling you. We're going to give it to the people like you that aren't going to care until they have it. We're going to bring it to you so you can judge it for yourself. Did you fall asleep again?
No, drunk. I didn't fall asleep. I'm packing up a fucking board game. I'm sorry.
Packing a bowl?
No, I get it. I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying, DRG. I really do. Are they going to be able to tell me names that I can understand? Are they going to be able to say... Are they going to be able to, are they going to make it better where it's going to be like... You know, like, not kids
okay.
Ching Chong Ching Chong.
Can you
versus
say the
Ching
word
Chong Ching Chong? Or are they going to
say the word
Sean Vamp, versus Brett?
Vamp,
are they going to fucking.
Okay, alright, shut up.
Vamp, shut up. Can you say the word Goto? Can you say the word Goto?
Goto!
Right. Can you say the word, can you say the word Ishii?
Ishii!
Can you say Shinsuke?
Shinsuke!
That's what I'm saying. It's not as hard as you're making it out. You're making up excuses.
It is. It is.
I get
Dude,
it.
No.
Watching the Japanese commentary and trying to follow along with the suprexo and all that is, I get that. But right now you're making excuses because you are scared of something new, or you are prejudiced against something new, or you are saying this isn't what I want to watch. That's fine if it's not what you want to watch. Just admit that. Don't say it's because I can't translate the way that they're speaking in Japanese, because that's a bullshit excuse.
Not that I don't want to watch it. I'm just breaking it down to the common denominator, man. That's not, you know me.
But
it's
even
like,
even then with GFW.
Rocket. I want to watch fucking, what's his name? Fucking Prince Puma.
We'll watch Baron Corbin have sex with Triple H. We understand.
Fine. I can do it.
The thing with GFW is they're going to have American commentators. They're going to have American ring announcers. It's going to be English speaking people running the show. You might have Japanese wrestlers on there, but that's what WWE is trying to do, is get Japanese wrestlers, Japanese fan base. It's the same thing.
One of the things that I do like that they've done, I really wish that Jeff Jarrett would have held out announcing anything until the first of 2015, but they're not rushing this. They're not trying to get it out in the market as fast as possible. They are taking their time and being deliberate with what they want to acquire and how they want to do it. The fact that Jeff Jarrett is taking his time and being so patient with this makes me hopeful, because whenever World Wrestling Stars came out, which turned into TNA, when it came out, it was rushed and we got a sponsor. We got to get on the air now. And the first, you know, 3 or 4 years of TNA was so batshit sporadic. At least with this, they're taking the time to formulate a game plan to figure out what they want to do presenting this to the masses. I respect that.
All right, Biohazard.
That went on a giant tangent.
Mm-hmm. It went on a Vamp's I don't care is what it went on.
Wait a minute. We went on a giant tangent? No.
Yeah.
No, it went on a DRG map
tangent. Never fucking said once that I don't care. Let's put it straight. I never... fucking care about your stupid fucking ninja fucking wrestling bullshit program that nobody will fucking care about and is gonna fucking care. I never said that I didn't care. So I'm gonna say that right now.
And
did
there's
it,
the,
did you call it ninja wrestling program?
Yes,
he did.
I did.
Didn't you say that you
doesn't this shit doesn't this network title actually have ninja in the title?
I believe it does.
It absolutely does. I'm surrounded by the fucking three guys that formed it. God damn it.
You don't care about Japanese and you don't care about Mexican and you don't care about any of those. You didn't say that.
We know where the drunk part comes
from. I never said that. That's all I'm saying. I never said
that. Go back and listen to your own words.
I never said that.
TRG, shut the fuck up before I kick you off this call. We're getting back to fucking to Biohazard and what his Keep Thoughts to Prove of the Year was.
What did GFW? The other one is Punk,
yeah, we know.
Punk leaving, actually. Would have been my second one.
Which one's that? The Toss and Improve or Keep? Or where were you at on that? That's your keep.
Yeah, we'll do keep. Or it's a keep, toss, and improve at the same time. Because Punk leaving, I was sad.
No, it's cool. Keep, toss, or improve of the year.
My keep of the year was GFW.
Okay, then what's Punk, toss, or improve?
Punk's a tosser.
It could be improve. Simply, he left out of nowhere. It could have been handled differently just off of hearing what he said about how it left and Vince's semi-side to it. But then when you look at the bigger picture, Daniel Bryan wouldn't have got a biggest push as he did. All the so-called indie guys, Rollins, Ambrose, they wouldn't have gotten pushed the way they did.
That's not true, because according to Punk, they were going to get pushed regardless, because that was his hand-picked chosen three.
That was his hand-picked two.
I forgot about Ono.
Yeah.
I seen him over the weekend.
Of course you did. Saw the pictures.
We'll get into talk about that stuff later. That's part of my best of the week.
It would have improved for me if they would have had, like, if Punk wouldn't have sounded so bitter in his podcast they dropped, and if he would have done it a little bit sooner just to kind of give people closure so we could move on and move past this faster. That would be the improves that I would want out of it.
I think that what sucked, like what we suffered from, is we suffered from the legal process. For everything to go through is for as much was what we had to wait on to get our information. And technically, he could have done it like a month sooner, but obviously he was waiting on some other timing, but still.
Yeah. And that was the whole thing that I was glad he answered in the second podcast. As he said, the reason why it took so long is because there was legality. So it was the only question I had coming out of that, but it just. I think because it happened, it dragged on so long, and we saw so many matches and segments suffer from CM Punk chants that were unnecessary. That's what bothered me about it.
At least it seems like they're dying down.
Well,
but then again, with AJ not being on TV, that's going to help it.
You also can't you also have to take into account, what was the announcement that was made like 4 days after he did his podcast?
Oh, no, that's what I said.
That's exactly why he waited. He was waiting till he could get his name out in the news so that when he made that announcement, it would matter.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to what I said, he was waiting he could have made the announcement a month sooner.
Damn it, was Mop's opinion. God.
He signed with UFC back in October. And that's obviously around that time is when everything was cool. He could talk about it. But yes, like I said, he was waiting on other things. He waited for everything to line up. Like, he did the perfect lining up of Vince's interview on Stone Cold's podcast and his announcement. Perfect, perfect timing. He was all over the news those 2 weeks, and actually ever since then, there's been a lot of great clips that we haven't got to talk about. But
how about that? A smart guy who never went to college.
So many really good Punk segments on like ESPN and everything. Some of those would be great to talk about or to listen to. Of like one guy that I absolutely hate, fucking Dan Le Batard. Fucking hate him. But anyway,
his name.
That's a different tangent. What's that?
His name makes me hate him. Le Batard. What the hell?
Yeah, he's like Mexican or something.
Fact.
Fact.
All right, DRG. Keep us from the year.
Keep of the year, I'm gonna say NXT with the Sami Zayn and Neville storyline, because they did well with that, with Neville being shady with his victory to come out with in the Fatal 4-Way. It was a really good storyline told very well on that program. But I also want to include this podcast and just podcasting in general, because in all honesty, there have been some great freaking discussions that haven't been biased or just complete, you know, smart talk like you see on these vlogs or on forums pages. We've done a great job of taking everybody's points of view, me being the TNA lover and other people not loving TNA as much. Me taking certain perspectives of WWE and everybody that might buy into it. We've had great discussions on this podcast. So that's, if I want to keep anything, that's what I want to keep.
Aw, that's nice.
Yeah, aw.
Yeah, fuck you guys. I was just trying to be cool. But everyone, no, hate you guys.
What's your toss and improve?
Toss of the year has to be, there's too many authority storylines. We went from everything going on with Stephanie and Hunter throughout the majority of the year. We had MVP's struggle for power mixed with Dixie Carter's power. We had Dario Cueto with Lucha Underground. Everything has seemed to center around a power struggle at the top of the card with bad guys holding that position hostage. I want to see something in the new year that isn't so much centered around that. You can have a quality wrestling show without having to have some bad guy that needs to be overthrown.
Totally agree. I think everybody is in agreement too. We're just trying to cut your tangents. So
no, everybody's used to when I talk, they get quiet because I talk TNA. So.
Is the TNA talk over?
Mop, what is your Keep Toss Improve of the year?
Well, original keep was the Daniel Bryan. I mean, I guess just the influx of young talent into the WWE and the impact that they're making is has been pretty astonishing.
Fully agree.
Yeah.
With the exception of Adam Rose.
Yeah.
Well, you got to take the good with the bad. I mean, one miss compared to all the hits, I'll take that.
Exactly. Their percentage ratio is just outstanding at the moment.
He turns into Adam Kruger.
That would be kind of funny to hunt the bunny. Maybe he could bring a shotgun. Maybe he could bring a shotgun and actually shoot the fucking thing.
Do y'all remember the conversation we had about the Oculus mirror whenever it was a bunny suit? My improve for that is if he would have turned into Leo Kruger, and that they could have played off that now when they're turning him heel, they could have brought that character into the fold.
If I remember Leo Kruger correctly, he was pretty fucking bland and boring then.
Yeah, I was not behind him, but to go eat Leo Kruger, Adam Rose,
What is your toss and improve or improve?
Oh Jesus! How about
you
fucking
wanna,
meaning?
You want to toss and improve Jesus? You sound like Vamp.
I love Jesus. How about just the absolute pointless hours of wrestling that we've seen this year?
Why are you so vague?
Because I can't come up with a fucking direct toss. Can we toss Kane? Fuck you, Kane.
Actually, yeah, that would be a good toss.
Yeah.
That was a conversation we were having last night.
Actually, I like Kane. I've always liked Kane. But this Kane can fuck off.
Oh, I've always liked Kane too, but I've gotten to the point where Kane, Big Show, Mark Henry, we've seen them for just far too long.
Yeah, all three of them, like we talked about last night, either go part-time and split your time up between the three of them through the year, or just go away.
It's actually like I think getting rid of Brodus Clay was a big mistake, because I felt like he could have easily stepped into one of their spots, Mark Henry or Big Show.
Well, But I think you've already got guys there ready to step into those roles in Ryback, Rusev, Luke Harper, Eric Rowan. You've got all these guys that are right on the edge of stepping into those roles. They just got to get the fuck out of the way so that it can happen.
Yeah. I think that's been everybody. Let me see. My keep of the year. I got to go with... Yes, Katie. Katie is my keep of the year. Is Rusev. I don't know, like, if in the first, like, when he first came at Royal Rumble, I don't think I had much of an opinion on him, but as soon as they gave him Lana and they started rolling with him after WrestleMania, I think it's been the best storyline all year. One of the best that's not centered around a title. It actually has some sort of longevity, and where they are with Ryback right now, I absolutely love.
My only concern is he Goldberg? Where once this win streak ends, what's left?
No, because I think he's not going to be like Goldberg, because Goldberg, technically, he took his undefeated streak through the title. And his undefeated streak was counted. Rusev hasn't been counted.
No.
They're just saying he's unstoppable.
No, they've made it pretty fucking clear that he hasn't been pinned.
Yeah, but they have not counted. Isn't that what I just said?
Yeah, they're not counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but they have
exactly.
made very
that's,
clear.
But that's always been, that was the key for Goldberg. He's 1-0, he's 2-0, he's 20-0, he's 26-0, he's 30-0. That they were counting along the way. They don't count with Rusev. It's just the perception of him is like that. I still think he could technically lose, but he'll still have that perception. Because, like I said, because they weren't counting. Right, moving on. My toss for proof. I'm trying to think of the one thing of the year. Oh, I mean, we had already kind of talked about the fucking Adam Rose. The only thing I like about Adam Rose, and it seems like every time I turn around, there's somebody I know being a rosebud.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't give two shits about him.
Now, is that cheating, really, taking him as your toss of the year? That seems like, that just feels like you're cheating.
It's cheap. It's definitely cheap. It's an easy route.
Let me quote somebody. How about all the pointless wrestling we've seen over here?
I said it. I couldn't think of anything
else.
How
about that?
It's his opinion, guys.
Yeah, it's my opinion, God damn it.
Yeah, so I have to go with Adam Rose. That's, I think, of the one thing that just has been terrible all year is him. There's anything that I've hated on can hold a candle to that. Like, so I could even say, I would have... Mm. Now that you bring
it
up.
You bitched about that pretty heavily.
El Torito and Hornswoggle.
I never bitched about that.
Swaggle. Oh, I Swoggle Gator.
Slider Gator.
Take a shot.
Yeah, I'm debating, like, well, that six-sided ring is a good toss.
We toss TNA as a whole.
There were points of TNA this year that I really liked. There was a lot of stuff that they built upon moving forward, so I wouldn't toss them completely, but there have been some things that they've done that I'm just like, what the fuck were you thinking?
TNA was exactly like WWE. Their biggest story of the year had nothing to do with wrestling.
Yep.
For WWE, it was Punk. For TNA, it was their contract.
Yep.
Okay.
I agree.
If Daniel Bryant would have stayed healthy, do you think the Punk story would have been as big as it was?
No. One more time.
If Daniel Bryant wouldn't have gotten hurt and been out for and had to lose his title the way he did, do you think he would be the biggest story of the year, or would it be CM Punk quitting?
Question. Were there CM Punk chants before Bryan got injured?
That's the one key. It's
yes.
The people, a lot of people were chanting because they didn't know the story.
There were, but the yes chants would supersede the CM Punk chants.
Right, but that's when Daniel Bryan was involved.
It's true. Now they are starting to use the yes chants for things they like or things they don't like you wanted, ERG.
And honestly,
I'm liking that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I actually do like that. I wish Bryant would come up with something a little different and just let the yes-no go, but that's kind of his thing now.
I was going to say, yeah, he earned it, man. Fuck.
Oh,
man.
Absolutely, but then fucking Nikki and Big Show and every fucking buddy else starts using it, so.
Well, you know, if Nick, Bree fucking uses it, she fucks the guy every fucking week. I don't mind if she uses it. She literally blows him every week. So, yeah, you know what? If you want to blow someone to use a chant,
in all realness, Bree is probably the one that really started the yes chant.
No, because it looks like she's taking a big shit every time she's doing
that's
it.
Awesome.
The fucking twig.
That's a fucking great fucking.
Yeah. 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 Did you not get that, Mom?
What?
That she was like she's the one that originated the yes chant.
And you know what?
And you know what?
That's Nikki, not Bree.
They're the same. They're fucking twins.
They're not the same. Fuck you, Mop. I'm a fucking twin. We're not the same goddamn person.
Yeah, Mop, I wish you would die in the womb.
Goddamn.
Mop, please fucking bleep, Mop.
Wait. You do realize that they're twins, right? What the fuck was that mumbling?
Swear to God, Mom, you say another word, I'm going to make you dream bleeds, and I'm going to have you shit out blood and then put it down your throat and make you laugh whenever you say you jolly that bastard.
My question is,
God not existing?
My question is that supposed to be your double vamp, or is that supposed to be your Triple H?
I thought it was cataclysmic there for a second.
That was a cata blended with vamp.
No, if it was cata, he would end it with cata!
And what are you talking about, Devil Vamp or Triple H? That's where Devil Vamp gets all his shtick from.
Love you, Vamp.
So the catchphrase for the new blood is suck it.
Good.
Anyway,
bow down to the kings.
Oh, the king of kings. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Okay. yeah.
Take a shot.
Right, moving on. And now let's get into what's on.
What's on?
What's on? What's on? The shit, dog.
Fucking, I don't know why I love that sound.
What's on? We seriously need to add that to the sound clip because you always do that.
That's my shit, dog.
Yeah. Well, you repeat it and then you go, that's my shit, dog.
That's what it sounds like he was going to say next if he would have kept the clip rolling. All right, what's on, guys?
All right, start with you, Devil Vance, since I haven't been here in a month, almost.
NXT, fucking love it. If you don't watch it, you should be watching it, bitches. And,
the bottom of that Jack bottle you're drinking?
How did you know it was Jack? That's about it. That's really about it, honestly. NXT, and that was about it. I watch NXT, and then I turn WWE Network off, and I go to sleep. That's about it.
Yeah. Nothing non-wrestling related?
Please stop rolling dice.
Yahtzee!
we're playing King of Tokyo. You guys ever played that?
No, dear God.
Sorry, dork.
Thank you, nerd.
Let's go play King of Tokyo, and I'll be Godzilla, and you can be Mothra.
Look, you can do it.
Gajira! You be Gajira? When you talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, Gajira!
Is that what you're
playing King of Tokyo?
He's playing King of
Tokyo. Shitting on New Japan.
Playing King of Japan is what? Him setting up his little toy soldiers and walking around, I'm bigger than you, and stepping on all of them.
I love Baron Corbin, you bow down to me.
Why
doesn't Wayne move to Japan where he can be a giant?
Oh,
I miss Wayne. Even though he shits on me every time I talk, I miss Wayne.
Christ. He shits on me every time I talk, don't worry.
Yeah, but yours is like a legitimate reason.
Oh, Jesus.
Did you just use the Lord's name in vain, sir?
Jesus fucking Christ.
He doesn't exist. There is no God.
Damn it.
God doesn't exist. God doesn't exist, damn it.
God, that's what it says in the religion of atheism.
Mark. That's science, remember? Because you post science things.
You guys can skip me. I'm going to roll my dice.
You go play with your dice, buddy.
You shake them dice up in your hand real nice. Cup them real soft. And you shake Blow them back and forth a little hand. Bit.
There's Jesse.
Yeah!
Seven!
I know.
Seven,
7-Eleven.
Please, bitches. Look at the box card. No box card.
Are you gonna push?
Yeah. Thank you. Rubber's in the circle. Fucking.
Did you just say rubber?
Are you in a circle?
Yeah. Why don't you guys shut the fuck up with that?
Rubber's in the circle.
I heard rub one out in the circle is what I heard.
Katie is so busy at this point, she's not even saying anything.
We're not asking trivia questions.
All right, Katie.
All right, guys, what's on? Seriously.
All right, Katie, what's on?
Well, I watched the new Ultimate Warrior Blu-ray I watched it again. And they're releasing another one of him on next year. I think they might be adding the documentary they did on him from the network. So that's what I heard. And that's what I watched. Non-wrestling related, I saw that movie, The Equalizer, with Denzel Washington. That was cool.
Was that good? I wanted to see it whenever I saw the previews for it.
Yeah, it's very good. He's one of my favorite actors. I like his movies.
Probably like she just said it was good. And then you're like, oh, was that good?
Well, I'm wanted to hear more detail about the movie.
Hey, Katie, was that movie any good?
Well, Mop, we know you know.
It was very good, and he shoots a lot of people. That's all I'm saying. Watch the damn movie.
Hey, how many people does he shoot?
Watch the damn movie.
Are we talking like, you know, an apocalyptic, everybody dies type movie, or are we talking about, like, just the bad guys get shot?
Watch the damn movie.
Get shot. Bad guys get shot.
Good God. Good God. God doesn't exist, so it's just mediocre God.
I don't care. I just don't care. I don't care.
Yeah.
Hey, you all.
Hey, you know what? I said something positive about you earlier, you asshole.
Who, me?
No.
No, there's nothing positive there.
There's nothing positive there.
Positively, there is nothing there. Right. So
right,
equalize,
moving on.
Go watch it.
Biohazard.
With you, what's on? I watched a lot of New Japan, just Bullet Club stuff. Specifically, I watched Doc and Anderson versus, was it the Killer Elite Squad from Wrestle Kingdom 8?
K-E-S. That was a good match, huh?
It was real good. I think it was the Young Bucks versus Samurai Del Sol and AR Fox, I think it was, at Pro Wrestling Syndicate, or maybe it wasn't them. I don't remember where it was. Or Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, that's what it was. And
PWG.
There was a 2-minute spot where they had you know, I'm new to the Young Bucks. Is it Jimmy, the blonde one?
No, it's Nick.
Nick, okay. Well, Nick was in the corner, and Del Sol and Fox just did so many running attacks to him. It was hilarious. And then they threw Fox leapfrogged over the entire turnbuckle into the crowd onto the other guy.
Matt,
there we go. And he took out half the crowd. And that's just that 2.5 minute spot's on YouTube. If you go look it up, it's pretty interesting.
That PWG crowd is amazing. They are from everything that
I haven't watched anything from them except for that match, and it was. I think I'm going to check them out a little more on that one.
For everybody that talks about ROH being the ECW of this generation, PWG has the fan base that ECW had. They are so passionate and get into everything so much.
I still think CZW is the ECW of this generation.
I remember watching CZW stuff a few years ago, and it reminds me why I didn't like ECW as much.
I love the new horror, like when Sammy Callahan was there and the Switchblades. I love that aspect, but the ultraviolet stuff turns me off.
Yeah, watching a guy go through a pane of glass that's lit on fire, there's a limit, and that's my limit.
The worst that I saw was Masada taking on Thumbtack Jack, where he picked him up and powerbombed him on flaming cinder blocks, and dear God, why? There was no reason for that.
There's a limit, and they cross it too many times, and I don't think I'll ever watch Combat Zone Wrestling.
You don't like weed whackers in your wrestling?
No.
weed whackers, saw, light bulbs,
like, you don't need
piercing people's
cutters,
like cheeks.
Like, I'll take
with
tables.
Syringes.
Mm-hmm. I have a friend of mine who's a huge CZW fan, and he likes to be on Snapchat. Well, he Snapchatted all these videos of, like, CZW, and I sent him a picture back just pointing at the camera and said, "You are a sick fuck."
Oh, man. I tell you what, they do have one guy in CZW that I think has potential, and that's Matt Tremont, the Bulldozer. Mm-hmm. I think that if given time to develop mic skills like he has over the past, you know, 2 or 3 years, he could be something really special in a different promotion. But because he, like, his Cage of Death match that he had with DJ Hyde was just, there's too much brutality shortens your career. Look at Masada. He has absolutely no knees left because of this stuff. Mm-hmm.
Or any of the old ECW guys, Sabu, Sandman, all of them. They're fucked.
Sandman was fat and out of shape when he was in ECW.
That is true. He's gotten fatter and more out of shape.
See, there are people like Mick Foley and the Cactus Jack that were doing those death matches back in 95 that transitioned out of it.
Yeah, but
somebody like Tremont, I can think that if he transitions out of it now, the way that Sammy Callahan and the way that Dean Ambrose did, he has potential to move further.
The death matches that he was doing don't even compare to what the fucking crazy shit these fucks are doing now.
An hour-long exploding ring match with Terry Funk didn't compare to that? Did you watch how brutal that was?
What is that fucking contraption that they come up with for CZW's main pay-per-view?
Cage of Death.
That's fucking, it's stupid. Or the 15 tables stacked on top of each other so they could all just go through... That's fucking retarded.
Tommy Dreamer special, that's what I like to call that. Every time I see table stacked that high, it reminds me of Primetime slamming Tommy Dreamer through him from the crow's nest.
Anyway.
DRG, what's on?
I'm going to start with what non-wrestling first. I watched Django Unchained last night. I was so disappointed with that.
Oh, that was a great movie.
Yeah.
The first half was great.
DRG, fantastic movie.
Shut up.
Oh, there he is.
The first half of that movie where they were telling the story in the backlog of the German and him together was awesome. And I get Quentin Tarantino movies. I understand them. I knew what to expect. But the moment that they got to Leonardo DiCaprio's character, no matter how good of a bad guy he played, it fell off and just became this, let's see how much shock value we can put into this movie to make you feel something. And I don't necessarily think that they had to have that in that movie to tell a good story. It got far too over the top for me.
Are you seriously saying that a Quentin Tarantino went over the top with something with all the movies that he's made?
Dude, Reservoir Dogs is my favorite movie that he's ever made. And okay, that one was bloody and gory. But
yeah, Pulp Fiction.
Just because you say the N-word 72 times doesn't make it a good movie.
It makes it a good rap song.
It fell off the moment that Leonardo DiCaprio's character came into play, and I get it. He played a good bad guy. I'm not saying that he didn't do well in his role, but it got to the point where it was so much unnecessary shit. The black guy getting tore apart by the dogs was unnecessary. Them hanging Jamie Lee Foxx upside down to simulate the castration was unnecessary. It was too much for me to sit there and say, oh yeah, this is a great movie, because it made me not like the movie. It was so over the top, it turned me off of what could have been a great movie.
You do realize all of those things have happened to people at some
totally
point.
Totally necessary.
All right. Of that was have happened to some people. They don't all happen in 1-2 hour span to the exact same character.
Well, no, you got to suspend your disbelief a little.
Not to mention that movie wasn't a 2 hour span within one character.
It was two and a half, sorry, I apologize for...
No, because that wasn't just like two and a half hours of someone's life. That was a lot more than that.
Well, I'm not saying that it was only 2.5 hours of him. I'm saying in that 2.5 hour span that I spend watching it, having every one of those events all thrown in together and incorporated in one thing, it was too much for me. I did not like the film. I liked the first half of it with telling the story of him and the German. Perfectly fine. It was great. Once Leonardo DiCaprio's character was introduced and they started throwing as many things possible, shock value-wise, to try to get you to attach your emotions to how bad Leonardo DiCaprio's character was, it became too much. Watching him with the fight where he's pulling out the guy's eyes and then slamming the hammer, okay, that's fine. And within 15 minutes later, they've got this guy ripping people apart with dogs.
You're feeling guilty of being racist. That's what you're doing.
No, I'm not. I'm from the fucking South, you ignorant person. I don't care about racism. You know why? Because that died from my family 2.5 generations ago. I am one of the most culturally expanded people that you will meet. I don't care about the racism aspect, but the fact of the matter is that it was too much shock value in one movie for me to appreciate it. That's the point, not the racism.
But that's Quentin Tarantino.
I want to take a side note. Old school, I hope you're listening to this and you decide to clip this and play it on the show so we can make fun of him.
That's fine. Y'all can make fun of me all you want, but my taste is that movie was unnecessary. There were certain parts that just completely made the movie bad to me, and I'm not going to sit here and try to agree with somebody because they're disagreeing with my stand. I didn't like it. So
no, we're just trying to force our opinion on you. Get over it.
I'm on the DSJ.
Django!
All right, wrestling-wise, I'm going to go on a bitch fit.
Oh God, that was your non-wrestling. Wait till we get into your wrestling. Holy fuck. 2 minutes!
I'm going to go on a bitch fit. Biohazard sent me a tweet this week saying, what'd you think about the top 10 best of TNA? I'm going to tell you now, Biohazard, I get why they did it, because they're trying to push the propaganda of what it is moving forward. But the fact of the matter that the top 10 list that they gave me had 7 moments that were from 2010 moving forward was bullshit. Absolutely.
Hogan,
everything involved with Hogan's debut, I get it. It was a big moment for TNA. That's fine. All the stuff with the they are here, bullshit, should not have been number 2. The Samoa Joe headbutt should have been at least number 2 or number 1. If they want to do Dixie Carter's table spot as the biggest moment for moving forward, I get that. I understand why. It should have been top 10, not number 1 for me. Number 1 should have been AJ Styles winning that X Division match, because that is what made people interested in TNA to begin with. It set apart the X Division from every other aspect of wrestling because it delivered that cruiserweight style that was absent once the invasion angle took over. It was...
Was this Countdown fans voted or just their own?
It was their own. Yeah. It was their own. And that's why I say I get that they're pushing their propaganda to try to spread moving forward. But they didn't have the Christian Cage debut on there. They didn't have the freaking headbutt from Samoa Joe. They didn't have Sting's debut. They didn't have so many more moments that were so much bigger and impactful in TNA's history that they left off there to push some stupid propaganda, and it pissed me off. So, no. I did not agree with that top 10 list at all. I agreed with the Unbreakable match, and that was about it.
Yeah, it did say moments, and that's what I took out of it, was that there was just their moments. And like you said, there was a lot of debuts that they could have put in there. When I started watching TNA, it was when Christian was already there, Rhino was there, Sting was already there. So I think I started watching 2007, where matches I remember was Christian Cage winning the NWA World Championship and things like that. And the X Division's what turned me on to watching TNA. Like you said, those are the main points that you wanted to gravitate towards TNA, because no other companies had daredevils like that. There was Rey Mysterio and things like that, but AJ Styles and Daniels and Joe really set that bar, and no one has met it yet.
The crossfade from Jason Cross, where he did the Shooting Star leg drop, I first saw that on TNA, and it sparked an interest in me to see where he came from, and I started getting into more independent wrestling because of maneuvers that were formulated and I first saw in the X Division. The moments with Kurt winning all 8 freaking titles wasn't on there. Mm-hmm. The fact is, Kurt is the top champion in TNA's history. He's had more title reigns than anybody, and you don't put his first title win on there? Makes no sense to me.
His first title reign, that match was the King of the Mountain match, wasn't it?
I believe so, where he was him, AJ, fucking Chris Harris, Jeff Jarrett, one Rhino, somebody else, I think another 2 people were in there.
I think it was Joe. I remember the spot where, I don't remember if it was that one, but there was a spot where Joe threw AJ off the top of the cage into the announce table. Was that one, right?
Yeah, that was the one you're talking about, yeah. But the thing that bothers me so much about it is I can see, if it would have been something where I would have been like, there was only 1 or 2 moments where I was like, oh, they could have put that in there, or they should have put this in there, I can chalk that up to it being my personal bias for those moments. But there was only, out of a top 20 list, there were only 5 moments that I would consider big time moments for the company. They didn't have the freaking Spike debut when they went from Fox Sports 1 over to Spike. They didn't have that on there. That was a major play for them. Oh, that's my rant. I'm over with. I'll take a breather. But when you asked me that on Twitter, I told you the same thing. I get from their perspective, but I'll talk about it later. And that's what I wanted to get off my chest, is I think that there was a lot of bullshit filler in there.
Was that you, Mr. Tangent? Was that? Yeah,
that's my 2 minutes.
Yeah. almost forgot the segment we were on. Mark, what have you been watching?
Rarely, I mean, other than Raw, I didn't watch any wrestling. The only thing I've really watched, because frankly I haven't been home, is it's called Blackwater. It was on Netflix.
That's racist.
It's another British show. I watched Doctor Who Christmas special too. But
when did
so basically happen? I watched a lot of British shit and no wrestling.
Mr. We the People.
Hey, we whooped their ass, so I can enjoy the spoils of my victory.
When did that Doctor Who special air?
It was on Tuesday.
Okay, all right, Tuesday. All right.
Tuesday.
2 minutes. All right, what if I've been watching? Well, I should say I spent my Christmas producing free podcasts, so
not very well.
One hiccup.
I'm just telling you what Kata said. Sorry.
At least it's better than the email that you sent in and I fucked up.
That was funny, though. That made me laugh. And then you wanted to redo it at the end of that show. That's why I thought the air time was there. I was like, Heavy, you don't have to do that. It's okay.
Yeah, I didn't get around to it. That was just a complete fuck up. Other than that, the only thing I really watched this week was football. That's pretty much it. I was actually home for the weekend. I'm working on getting a place. I'm actually going to move in with a friend of mine who is renting a house, and he has an extra room, and I went over to his house on Sunday to make sure my dog and his dogs got along. They didn't get along perfect. There was some little problems, but it's manageable. So spent my day watching football with him. So that's pretty much it. I don't think I watched anything wrestling besides Raw. No other podcasts either. Just, like I said, I spent my Christmas producing podcasts, so as soon as that shit was done, I haven't even got to list anything else yet.
And
so,
Cerebral Satire was talked about on Old School, the movies, evidently.
I don't care.
They'll hear that when it comes on the network.
Which network is that?
Let me training top is network.com.
I don't have a random fact to throw out.
You guys ready for emails?
Go for it. No,
are you taking a break from Tokyo Dome?
Normally,
emails.
I thought we'd do Wayne's water cooler next.
Sorry, emails first.
Unless
we always do the emails last, guys.
That's right. We always do the emails last. Hey, yo. So for this week in pro wrestling history, I present you with the following: January 1st, 1944. Jimmy Hart was born in Jackson, Mississippi.
How you doing?
January 1st, 1977. Bobby Roode was born in Peterborough, Ontario.
How you doing?
January 3rd, 1952. Jim Ross was born in Fort Bragg, California.
How you doing, by God?
January 4th, 1992. WCW and New Japan Pro Wrestling held the second co-promoted supercard in Tokyo, Japan. In the show's double main event, Ricky Koshiya defended the IWGP Championship against Tatsumi Funuku, or Funumi.
Devil Wayne, ladies and gentlemen. Devil Wayne.
I'm so fucking drunk. I've been drinking since fucking 3 o'clock. Lex Luger defended the WCW Championship against Masa Koko. Or Kono.
How you doing,
Masa Kono?
How you doing?
January 4th, 1996, ECW held House Party. I'm talking like
house,
Dusty.
House Party.
House Party, baby. How you doing, baby?
How you doing, baby? In the main event, baby, the Public Enemy is defeated the Gangsters, baby. Oh, yeah, baby. You're definitely going to be called fucking Sami Zayn, baby. Yeah. Sami Zayn is the best name ever, baby. Yeah. January 4th, 1999, baby. In an attempt to swing the fan. WCW gave away the results to... Oh, wait. All right. I have to be serious with this one. January 4th, 1999. In an attempt to sway the fans and their favor, WCW gave away the results to that night's pre-recorded episode of the WWF Raw is War, with the WCW announcer, Tony Schiavone, commenting, "If you're even thinking about changing the channel to our competition, fans, do not." We'll wait.
How's that, Tony Schiavone?
We understand that Mick Foley, who wrestled one time as Cactus Jack, is going to win the world title. That's going to put some butts in the seats. The tactic would backfire, however, as almost 600,000 fans would change the channel to the competition after the remark. The event would end up being the blunder that the company would never fully recover from as it began a rating shift back towards WWF. Kata out! Well, that echoed a lot in this fucking comment. You guys have no idea. All right.
How you doing? Kata is the Bobby Lashley of emails, because that email was B-A-W-S-S boss.
By the way, I just want to mention, I was listening to Andy Anderson in my fucking car today on the allwrestling.com weekend review podcast for the Christmas season, and his nickel is not a nickel, it's actually a quarter, so he's a liar too.
Really, dude?
Hey, boys, from Andy Anderson. Hey, boys and Katie, this week.
Hi, Andy, emailer.
Hi, guys.
If you're going to do it right. Oh, my God.
Seriously, guys. There's 2 minutes left.
This week in Raw, my opinion, totally rigged of awesomeness. We got a nostalgic look back at the Edge's career, and hey, remember the time he beat up John Cena's dad in his home? Good times. Raw also seemed to turn into a shell promo. I misread.
It's okay for Bam to do this because it's
a promo episode. We got Ryback that was able to connect to the people, and Cesaro that was not able to count and connect to the people. We also got an announcement that I and others wanted for Christmas, the return of Daniel Bryan. So, now is Roman Reigns the surefire winner of Royal Rumble, or is Daniel to pull it off? Thanks for reading my email. Have a great 2015, and that's been my nickel.
Yes, I actually think that Roman Reigns is still going to win the Royal Rumble. It just makes so much sense.
Anybody else?
I didn't like the commentary. I think it's nice that he pointed out the commentary brought up the fact that we're beating Daniel Bryan, but Michael Cole got on my nerves. Edge and Cena talking about the time that Edge attacked his dad. That was pretty funny because Christian sit there and like turned and he goes, yeah, that was all. Oh, wait. Yeah, you're calling me? Yeah, okay. It was comical.
Heavy set?
That's been his nickel.
I know he's still around because he's hosting the fucking show.
I was on mute, my bad.
Self-reflection.
Yo, what's your nickel, bun?
So what's your opinion?
Yeah, hello?
Do you give it two snaps in a circle?
Dude, two snaps in a twist, bitch. The same.
It's raining men.
What's your fucking opinion about God?
Did you say it's waning men? That's the cute.
It's raining men. Holy shit, I said it was waning men.
That is awesome.
Katie, what's your fucking raining men opinion about this shit?
I feel like I'm on the birdcage anyway. Roman Reigns winning the Rumble. Yeah, I think they're going to go there, but it's going to be hard now that Daniel Bryan's officially back and he'll be in the Rumble. So we'll see how it goes from there.
All right. Biohazard?
I will touch on my opinion in the water cooler.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm going to go back to the heavy set one last time.
Akadosh Spartacus.
All right.
I got nothing else to say.
Okay. Here we go. Dearmid, greeting, lads and Katie. I hope you're all well.
Stop. Repeat that, please. Same accent. Exact same accent. Do it again.
Greetings, lads and Katie. I hope you're all well and rested after the few passes.
Get in my belly.
That is your best accent. That's the one that's your go-to, buddy.
Hey, don't judge it. Just listen. Last week on Second Shift, I put forward my idea of Daniel Bryan and being a breakthrough Rusev.
It's William Wallace when you need him.
William Wallace. Undefeated streak, he was going to be lifted enough to compete in WrestleMania. However, after this was before, I knew I was going to be competitive in Royal Rumble.
We're watching Japanese. He really is in the Tokyo Dome, isn't he?
I'm in the Tokyo Dome. Everybody.
Welcome to the train wreck.
Roman Reigns. Oh, this is. Everybody has Roman Reigns done as a Royal Rumble winner for months now. But now, that Brian is back. Do you think they'll give him the Royal Rumble winner denied last year? Roman Reigns, Batista. It's even just Brian.
Where's your pot of gold?
I need a shanty in my hand.
Rainbow.
His pot of gold is in Japan.
Wait, hang on. Personally, I think that I've been stripped of the title without ever losing it. Makes me sense that he should be the one going to it at WrestleMania. There would be no harm for Roman Reigns to wait another year and get more experience. Plus, Bryan, Lesnar is a real dream match for me personally. But what do you guys think? Either way, I'm delighted to have Daniel Bryan back for 2015 no matter what he's doing.
He's like a drunk Scrooge McDuck.
he's the only guy I really truly always emotionally invest. I think I'm marked out last night watching his speech live 3:30 in the morning. Sorry for rambling on, but at least I didn't put anything too difficult for Wayne to pronounce yet. Happy New Year and keep up the great work. This is his last, right? You ready? Slang her go for Dermot.
Right, boys, I want y'all to run off to the money bank and go grab me a coin. Get my lucky Dan.
Sweet, jump down the bikes and hit the blocks for coins. Dermot, we love your calls. If I was more sober, I would have read it right.
I want to know, what did he say? Like, because I didn't get it. Daniel Bryan and Lesnar?
Yeah, he said, personally, I think having being stripped of the title without ever losing it makes sense that he should be the one going for the Mania, and it would be no harm for Roman to wait another year to get more experience. Plus,
what's a Mania? Distract him. Yeah. He's already having enough trouble trying to focus.
No, it does say Mania. It does say Mania. Plus, Ryan and Lesnar is a real dream match for me personally. But what do you guys think?
We can just wait till the water cooler to find out.
Oh, Jesus.
Which is normally why at least when I do it, we always do water cooler first.
Oh,
big. But no, Mr. Insist.
Wow.
Mr.
That was a shot. That was a shot. Russell.
Mister, you do the show the way you want to do, a.k.a. oh no, we're doing emails.
Oh no, I own it. We're doing emails.
I don't agree. That wasn't emails. That was Vamp's bad accent
that was
corner.
Fantastic. That was fucking gold. You guys won't bring that again.
You own it, but I can still kick you off this call and it's still going on the same. So keep talking, motherfucker. say that I won't, too.
That's absolutely true. No, I believe you will. I believe you will. I think Daniel Bryan and Brock Lesnar WrestleMania is a bad idea. I do.
I think I want to wait till Wayne's water cooler.
I think Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar WrestleMania makes sense. I think Daniel Bryan and Brock Lesnar WrestleMania is a David versus Goliath, and David should lose. If he beat the fuck out of John Cena, he should be beating the fuck out of Daniel Bryan, who is a hurt person coming off an injury, smaller than him, weaker than him. Lesnar should win, hands down, and it doesn't make sense to me. Roman Reigns, as much as you guys know how much I can't stand Roman Reigns, Roman Reigns winning over Brock Lesnar makes sense to me, not Daniel Bryan.
And let's face it, Daniel Bryan on the chase is 1,000 times better than him with a title.
That's true. That's very true. So once Roman Reigns beats him, then Daniel Bryan has to get through Dean Ambrose, and Daniel Bryan has to get through fucking Seth Rollins, and then he has to get through Roman Reigns. Then you have a big chase.
What the fuck are you doing with your microphone?
Maybe he could join the Wyatt family again.
Hanging up on my zipper. Might be hanging up on my zipper. Yeah. The Wyatt family. Anyway, Pop and I are on the same page.
Which zipper would that be?
Your zipper, Katie. You're right here.
I tell you what I want. What I want is for Dermid to go on to whatever 2S they have next, whenever it is, and I want to hear his impression of Devil Vamp. That's what I want.
I would just like to tell you, Dermid, I hope you have a wonderful new year full of Ishkabaha. That's an actual Irish phrase, so suck it. All right, Mr. Email.
No, that's the last of the emails.
I thought you blacked out.
No.
You passed out, too.
I'm that drunk. Trust me, if I was that drunk, I would be slurring a lot more, and I couldn't do awesome impressions like I just did.
I didn't hear any awesome impressions.
Did awesome impressions. If you guys missed it, it's not my fault. Sorry, your Skype call may have been cutting in and out. I apologize.
No, I can replay it back if you want me to.
Wait till he's sober.
Oh, God, yeah. Wait till he's sober and listens to himself.
That's no reason. Right. No. It's fantastic. No. Fuck, fantastic. Right.
This sparks an interesting conversation. Should we do a drunk episode?
What else do you need from me? You need anything else from me, Heavy? I think I'm going to go to sleep.
Pretty sure I didn't really need much from you on this show.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Love you, Vampy. Grab your wubby.
Bye-bye. Bye, Mop.
Later.
Keep it up, buddy. Me and you together, as always.
Vamp conquers the world.
Is this a fucking couples therapy thing?
Apparently.
And now that Vamp's gone, we're going to lead in a prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, avoid alcohol poisoning.
Save his liver.
All right, can we do Wayne's water cooler? Because I really want to talk about this whole Roman Reigns thing, but I want to know what Biohazard has in the news.
Time for Wayne's water cooler.
Wayne's water cooler.
With Biohazard.
Yeah, to get the water effect going. Well, one article I read said that Bryan would be win the Royal Rumble to go on to Mania to face Lesnar, but then once the match is over, all the pyro goes off, they would do the same thing they did with Orton, but have Rollins come down and do it, putting heat on Rollins, so when whoever beats Rollins would get over more as a face.
Which website posted that?
I actually saw this on Facebook.
Oh.
I follow the pro wrestling world, and this was just one article or one thing they were talking anything about.
I do not know anything about them, so I cannot talk about their credibility.
Dude, yeah, it's internet dirt sheets. How much credibility can they have?
There are some that actually are a little bit better than others.
No, they're all garbage.
It's all coming from the same crap source anyway.
I'm Meltzer, and I love wrestling.
Get all the crap source coming from Biohazard's
toxic waste dump.
Biohazard's waste dump.
The new news segment, the Biohazard's waste dump.
We said this like a month ago, and it never took off.
Yeah, well, it never took off because Wayne was actually on every episode since then.
And I have to say, we miss you, Wayne.
Yeah. Love you, Wayne. And that is not sarcasm.
You guys go ahead with what you were going to talk about with the WrestleMania thing with Brian.
I think that it would be better if Roman Reigns, if they stuck to the plan, because they already have the built-in Shield rivalry, which after watching that match last night, a Roman Reigns match in a Seth Rollins match is big money. There's a lot of money to be made off of that feud, especially if you stretch it out to maybe three matches. So right now, the way that they have everything set up, it would be smarter of them to go ahead and allow Reigns to win the Rumble, go in, take the title from Lesnar, and let Rollins cash in at Mania to close the show and build that rivalry. After Reigns gets a 3-month span of losing or of getting his revenge and then runs with the title for 3 months, they can find another heel, be it anybody you want to place in there that Brian can chase after. But they just have everything in place perfectly for it to be Roman Reigns. Right now, I don't think that they should waste that opportunity.
Yeah, but it's WWE and they tend to go with what's fucking safe.
Very true. Oh, damn it, Mop, using logic against me.
I hate the WWE for that, though, by the way.
I'm actually happy if they go either way. Because I like the story of Daniel Bryan going to WrestleMania and winning again. It's the David versus Goliath story. Something I thought should have been done before Daniel Bryan got injured. And the other side of it is Roman Reigns, the irresistible force meet immovable object. That's another great story. Either way they go, as long as they go one of those two routes, I'm going to be completely happy with. And I'm interested to see what the rest of the card looks like, because that is the key thing, too. You might be able to throw Daniel Bryan into that match easier and have a better opponent for Roman Reigns, or vice versa. It's just we don't know what their booking options look like.
What about the idea of it turning into a three-way somehow, where this, because you know the Authority is going to be back on Daniel Bryan's case.
Well, CM Punk's not coming back. Oh, my bad.
No, they just did that. They're probably not going to do it again.
Mm.
Now, maybe it's just me and my tinfoil hat. Is it a coincidence that the Authority comes back on the same show that Daniel Bryan announces he's coming back?
Nope.
Which means the Authority is going to continue to handle hold Daniel Bryan down, which means they'll hold him down through WrestleMania, which means he'll get back into the picture about SummerSlam time when Seth Rollins is holding the title because he cashed in to win it.
That would be interesting. Rollins, Bryan feud. I would not mind that.
Those matches will be amazing.
And with all the heat that Rollins has right now, going up against the machine of massive roars that Daniel Bryan gets, those matches, if Rollins comes out on top, can you imagine how insanely vicious that crowd would be?
Well, you know he's going to at least once or twice by nefarious means.
That crowd reaction. But what do you do with Roman in the meantime? Because, like, the Authority is going to hold down Bryan. We know that. Do they also step in and hold down Roman Reigns, and now they're doing a dual thing at the same time? If that's the case, what happens with Cena? Where does he go?
Cena can go anywhere and do anything with anybody. Roman versus Triple H, say SummerSlam, sounds like a pretty big money match to me.
Mm. I don't know, I just, with the whole thing of John Cena had to be the one to return the Authority, and him seeing all the debacle that's going on, I can't see him going off and just doing whatever. Yeah, we can see a Big Show match. Yeah, we can see him versus Randy Orton if Randy ever sides back, but I don't think he will. There's a lot of different pieces involved in this puzzle, and there's not enough heels in the Authority to make it work, because you can only use Triple H to wrestle, and you can only use Seth Rollins. Big Show is
Big Show will be there, but Mercury and Noble, I don't think that they can wrestle. They can take the bumps in the spots, but you can't put a two-on-one tag team against or a handicap match in there, can you?
Why couldn't you do a three-on-one? Rollins and the two Mercury are in the security versus Daniel Bryan.
Right, but then what do you do with John Cena?
God, there's so many options. Wade Barrett. Dean Ambrose.
What if they had Cena step down out of the main event picture and go against Dolph Ziggler?
I think he's ready for it, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. That would elevate Dolph Ziggler even higher because he's facing against John Cena. But what if they tease one of them turning heel because Ziggler's pissed off that Cena allowed the authority to come back or something like that?
I don't know if you want to turn. I don't know if you want to turn Dolph already.
Turn Cena. I know it won't happen.
That's funny.
Yeah. Let's get on the next story.
Okay.
Fine, Heavy. God. It's just my opinion.
We still have like two more segments to go besides this, and I got one motherfucker who doesn't shut up, another motherfucker who doesn't shut up, and I want to get to bed before I have to wake up.
You should never put me and Mop on the same call then, buddy.
You
should have known better.
That's what we were talking about last night.
It'll be New Year's Eve before we get done, which it will be.
New Year's Eve next year.
9, 8. All right, what's next?
If Undertaker decides not to wrestle at this year's WrestleMania, the rumor is that they will induct him into the Hall of Fame this year instead of next year. So that way he's involved with the WrestleMania festivities.
Ooh, the Macho Man won't be going in this year.
That's one thing they're talking about, too, that it being those two names. I think they could both go in the same year because Macho Man is dead.
But who headlines?
Taker.
Taker headlines.
Yeah, but isn't
Macho,
that one?
Macho Man is your
second to the last.
Well, yeah, it's because you need to end the show with somebody's big who's alive. But right. Like when they do like the televised special, I could see that being one of the Macho Man's being one of the main ones, but it being the second one.
Poffo was bitching about in the first place is that he should be the headliner.
I don't think any dead person should be a headliner because they're not actually there.
I get that. That's your opinion. But what I'm saying is Lonnie Poffo withholding this has been the whole thing.
Yeah, but also at the same time, headliner. Too, you got to remember he's saying that he's given WWE permission regardless.
I guess that's true.
I don't know. It would feel right to do Taker this year and then save Macho for next year is what it would feel right to me. Or, I mean, you still got Sting that may go in this year, too. So, who knows what they're going to fucking do. They probably don't know what they're going to do.
They never know what they're going to do.
I think that they got the rough amount of who they want in. Sometimes it's just figuring out certain things. Because you want to make a decent enough card to where you're not putting too many big names on there. And I still think Undertaker, Macho Man, it would make sense because to have that, I want to get the right word without butchering it, not waning it. Getting the posthumous release.
Posthumous.
Getting the posthumous inductee in, like when Eddie went in and a couple other people. Like when Eddie went in, he wasn't headlining. Someone else headlined.
I think what they do with the Hall of Fame, I notice, is they have someone who's the headliner. They put at least a tag team in, a woman in, and a celebrity.
A celebrity, yeah.
And they try to get like each one from like a different era or whatever.
And sometimes they do throw in, like I said, somebody who's dead, who's like a big name.
I can see it. I would actually like Taker to come in at Mania and announce his retirement, and then Vince come out, shake his hand, and announce that he will be the headliner for next year's Hall of Fame. That's what I would like.
In Dallas, that would make a whole lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What if they...
Yeah, but one thing you got to remember, too, Hall of Fame location is never determined.
I believe it's already been announced that Mania is in Dallas. Not 32, which means will be in the Texas area Hall of Fame.
But what I'm saying is the location has never meant anything for Hall of Fame. Like what I mean is like they're not like, all right, we're gonna go to. Let me see. When WrestleMania was in Florida, they were like, all right, we got to put in Macho Man
or The Rock is like man.
Right. That's the thing is it's not that way. It could just coincide that way. It would mm-hmm. just happenstance be perfect for Taker to go in at that moment in Texas.
Wasn't it the year they did where when they were in Florida? Florida, they did The Rock's dad and his grandfather that year.
Yeah.
Yeah, but both of those are, aren't they both technically Hawaiian?
But it's his father. He's built from Florida. So for me, it always seemed like they always try to get the main guy that was in that area. Like,
well,
they
if
did
you...
New York, they did San Martino and...
I think,
if you
The Rock's dad was from Canada.
but The Rock was there in the main event is what I was alluding to. It's since he was in the main event of WrestleMania, he inducted his father and grandfather.
Yeah, but wasn't Warrior the main event last year?
They were.
And he's from Arizona, right? Or parts unknown.
Yeah, parts unknown.
Yeah. But no, I don't think he was from New Orleans.
Nolens. Nobody's from New Orleans.
Yeah.
Nolens. New Orleans.
Nolens.
Nolens.
Nola.
And if we use that logic, then Sting's going in this year because he's from the California area.
Yeah. Long Beach. Or Venice Beach. I'm sorry, not Long Beach.
Venice Beach.
It's interesting. It's an interesting debate.
I think ultimately it doesn't really matter because there is no wrong answer to the question.
Right.
Correct.
Right, moving on.
Next one is that they're going to hold Neville down in NXT for a little while longer so he can have programs with Baylor, Owens, and Itami before he goes to the main roster.
Oh, I think it's got...
Perfectly for it.
Yeah, I'm for it, but it's got nothing to do with who he's working with. He's got to work more on his mic work. I mean, that's all it is.
I don't know. If he's got the Mighty Mouse gimmick, all he's got to do is come out and say, like, in a squeaky voice, and he's fine.
Or just have the song, Here I Come to Save the Day.
but think about where he has come on the mic over the last year and a half. And
oh, yeah.
You give him a little more seasoning down there, let him get a little better, and he will be even better off for it. And he's British. They don't really like Brits.
You give him a program with Finn Balor, and they can sit there and play on the history that they have together and all the crazy awesome matches that they've had, Prince Devitt turning on Pac. If they could play on that, it would be perfect. It would give him a chance to play that opposite side where he's the heel to Balor's face, and they could introduce a new dynamic to him before bringing him up. I am all for seeing a Balor and Neville feud.
Right.
What else you got?
Nothing really that has prominence. There was one that said Authority was brought back because ratings, when they're on the show, ratings are a little higher.
That's probably
true. Like, The other one was that this one was released before the Authority came back saying that what if it was Sting versus Rollins at Mania because Rollins is pissed off that Sting cost him the match.
Never happened.
Yeah.
I was going to say you could do the same thing with Rollins and Brock because Rollins curb stomped Brock.
Yeah. That's it.
You didn't have anything in there about Kurt Angle signing with TNA because he wants to remain loyal to the company that's been loyal to him?
Oh, and
this is the water cooler segment, as in we don't know if it's real. We know he signed to TNA.
What about Kevin Nash being suspended because of the beating the shit out of his kid?
We know that's real.
It's a real thing. It's not a water cooler.
It's still real to me, damn it.
No. I guess it's come out that the WWE has suspended him indefinitely.
Yes.
They pulled him from the show and suspended him until the court case is settled or something. Yeah. They did it. They're just like they gave Heath Slater time off to deal with his legal thing about him beating the woman or whatever he did.
Yeah, I heard the story.
That gator.
Oh, I heard the story of that, and it's kind of funny.
Why would you wait this long? But whatever.
Yeah, I don't get why it waited so long, but I don't understand the story either. Supposedly he was hitting on the hostess or whatever of the hotel. She turned him down. He grabbed her in a chokehold and started dragging her back to his room. He was a one-man wrecking crew, I guess.
Which just goes to show that gingers have no soul.
They really don't.
I'll kick motherfuckers off.
I brought up the Kurt Angle thing because we had a debate in GroupMe earlier.
I don't care.
Okay, that's fine. You don't want Kurt Angle in WWE. I get that. Does anybody else want Kurt Angle in WWE?
Not really. That's
the point right now. I don't think anybody is interested anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it would be kind of neat to see him come back and, I don't know, maybe take on Rusev, but other than that, I don't care.
With what he has given to TNA over the last 10 years, it was kind of obvious that he would re-sign with TNA. It's great to overthink it and say, oh, it would be good if he comes back to WWE, but in the end, he's where he should be.
Well, Dan brought up the idea of there being new and interesting matches with Angle to have one final year run in WWE, which I agree. A Daniel Bryan-Kurt Angle match would be amazing to me. A fully healthy Kurt Angle, I should say.
Yeah.
And I think that TNA has given him this time to rehab and get better and put him still on screen in the GM role, but I do think that he's back to a better place, not only in his rehab, but in his life. So a clear-headed Kurt Angle, as long as he can stay that way and stay off the pain meds and alcohol, I would like to see, you know, him versus MVP. I would like to see that angle. I would like to see him and Kenny King get in a ring and go at it. There are several people in TNA, but there's also some people in WWE that would be amazing to watch him roll around with. It'd be great.
But if we go back to the same discussion we had about Ziggler, and WWE's not going to put him out there if he isn't 100% healthy.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
Right, moving on. Let's get into the best of the week. And fuck you guys, I'm going to go first. My best of the week is going to AIW on Friday. The fuck was that? Charge to the Underhills. And the burying of the hatchet with Crimson.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Pussy, you fucking pussy.
No, it was actually kind of cool. It was, I should say, during the match, he actually ended up having a spot where he goes over the barricade. And, well, like, flips over the barricade and lands in the front row. Yeah, it was into my lap.
you tell him, Fat Shredder don't take no jobbers in his lap. Get up, bitch.
Should have got up and gave him a shredder.
So, eat a cheeseburger, damn it.
Yeah, I retweeted that picture of Colt Cabana, and you were in the background.
Yeah, yeah, there was
me.
Yeah, there was a picture of someone gave Colt a picture of him giving the his finishing move was Billy Goat Curse to a bear, and he got the picture taken on his way out the door because he always leaves like during the second half of the show because he always has shit to do. But you could actually see me in the background because I'm wearing a bright ass yellow Hulk Hogan shirt or Hulkamania shirt.
You wore a WWE shirt to an independent wrestling event?
Yeah.
How dare you?
What do you mean, how dare I?
How dare you? I can't believe you would do that.
What else would I do?
Yeah, I would just do that.
It bothers me because people say that about wearing a WWE shirt to TNA, and I don't understand why it's not okay to wear wrestling shirts to a wrestling event. Explain that to me.
My whole thing is I actually like to wear shirts that help me stand out. Like something that someone else isn't going to be wearing. And I actually, ironically enough, I was going to wear my Jack Swagger shirt, and then I went to FYE and bought a bunch of shit, and they actually had two wrestling shirts there, one being a Hulkamania shirt, the other one being an Ultimate Warrior shirt, and they were both of my size, so I ended up buying those, and I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to wear the Hulk Hogan shirt. But the story with Crimson was, after the show, I walk up to him, and I'm like, and I actually blatantly ask him, I'm like, can I get a picture with you, even though you have me blocked on Twitter? And we started talking about it. He was actually talking with the guy who's the head of security in AIW, who I'm friends with. So, like I said, we started talking about it. And during the conversation being blocked, he actually referenced his Fat Shredder tweet. he referenced it, not me bringing it up. And we talked about it. We laughed. He said he's no longer with Angelina Love.
Thank God.
took the picture, and he has me unblocked now on Twitter, and I am now following him.
So that the biggest thing, cool. That's what I got from that.
Well, I don't know, unless she's taking it from some other branch.
Uh-huh.
And my second best of the week, something I plan on spending money on, and I'm sad Wayne couldn't be here. I was looking at information for Comic-Con this coming year, and I know this is the first year for Cleveland Comic-Con, which Cleveland Comic-Con is actually in February. The one in Columbus is in the fall. It's weird. I know they differ on times. When I went, it was in September. Last year, it was October. And I want to say this year, it was October. And then next year, it's another time in September. But Cleveland one has two wrestlers on it, one being Dolph Ziggler. Ironically enough, he's Cleveland. And the other one being Paige, and I'm debating on going and getting the VIP tickets so I can get a picture with her, get her autograph, and rub it in Wayne's face.
Just make sure you wear your Intercontinental Championship when you go.
Oh, I need. Well, I have to actually buy that 121. Yeah, I just took a picture with it.
And then do that creepy, weird picture with her, and she's just sitting there smiling, and you do that little weird Wayne face. It'd be awesome.
should I stand beside her on my knees?
Yeah.
Yes. That is pretty cool, man. That whole Crimson story was awesome. The fact that he remembered the Shredder tweet was pretty funny too.
Yeah, he seems like a pretty cool dude, actually. Getting to meet him and talk to him.
Did you ask him if he was happy to be away from TNA now?
No. Normally, they all seem to be.
So you just assume?
See a trend?
Yeah. Like, I think when Chris Sabin came back to AIW, after his contract was over, we started a Fuck TNA chant, and he helped ensue it a little bit more.
They kind of did Sabin dirty. I'll give him that. Crimson is Crimson. Yeah, whatever.
Sabin was playing the heel this time around, or he has been lately. But someone said something about a Velvet, like trying to heckle him a little bit. And if I was him, I would have looked at him and been like, yeah, I fucked or you didn't.
One of the problems that I had with the Chris Sabin title win, if he would have been heel playing that childish heel that he plays, like whenever he had it, Velvet, and was kind of using her as an object between him and Aries, if he would have been playing that role, it would have fit much better because he is so smarmy and has that, I just like him playing heel. All
right, moving on. Best of the week, because we still got the best of the year to go to. Biohazard.
Best of the week would honestly just be Raw in general. Okay, like everybody touched on earlier today. So moving on, next person.
Katie, is that your best of the week too?
You know what, I was going to say that, but I'll just say the Daniel Bryan segment, because it was just so much emotion when he was talking, and like I said, I'm glad he's able to still wrestle, so I'll just say Daniel Bryan.
DRG?
Best of the week, when Rusev got done smashing the shit out of Ziggler, and the ref called for the bell, Rudy Charles, I love, he put Ziggler in an accolade across the ropes. And I popped for that. It was awesome. That spot of the accolade across the bottom rope was just really cool.
Yeah.
Mop, best of the week.
I guess my ever-growing man crush on Ryback.
You want him to crush you.
Oh, God, I would love to take those big arms and wrap them around me. Oh.
Feed you more wieners.
I want him to shock my shelf.
I want that big meat hook.
That meat hook so it shocks your shell.
When he says feed me more, do you think he means cucumbers?
Definitely.
I like to think that he means feed me more of him.
So how big is Batista's dick?
It's about this big.
It's a baka bug.
All right, let's get into our best of the year. And we'll start with... Okay, I'll start, actually, because I don't want anybody to take mine. The signing of Kevin Owens.
Really? That just happened. You're going to outweigh that over all the stuff that Baron Corbin debuted 6 months ago.
The signing of Kevin Owens. Right, moving on. Biohazard.
Not really anything to disagree or agree about. It was a good signing.
It was good.
I can't disagree. It took way too long for them to do it. I think that he should have been in there just about the same time that Sami Zayn came in, but I'm glad that he's a part of that roster.
Now, I do think I have a question. Do you think he basically does not win this title and moves right on up to the main roster?
No, he's going to get that title. He's going to if he doesn't get the title, he is going to feud with somebody for a long time for it. I think he spends most of 2015 in NXT. He's going to spend at least 9 months down there, if not the whole year.
Yeah, a lot of those the indie guys that they signed, or the free agents, as Jarrett would call them, a lot of them, there was internet rumors that they weren't going to be down in NXT as long as some of the other guys. Do you see them getting pushed within a year of them getting signed to the main roster, or do you see them staying down there longer because they can help train some of the new WWE guys that are just starting out in professional wrestling?
I think it depends on how many more people they're going to sign and bring in, you know what I mean? Because if they're going to fully replenish that roster...
Oh, they're going to keep... Remember, they're going to keep signing people.
Well, I know. There's, like, the UHA Nations, and there's other people out there that they should be looking at to sign.
Who I seen on Friday.
Good job. I'm proud of you.
There you know who was not there?
EC3.
Yeah. Miz.
No, EC3.
Dolph Ziggler wasn't there, was he?
No, but his brother was.
Who, Nikki?
Yeah, what the hell happened to him? He just kind of, like, disappeared.
Ryan Mike Nemeth. Mondo? Oh, Ryan.
Mike Mondo.
No, I'm talking about Ryan Nemeth. He was actually there. And you know who else was there who took his spot, if you read the tweets?
I didn't read your tweets.
Anyways, well, what I was saying is...
Oh, no, I was asking you, fucker.
No, I don't.
You don't know who took EC3's place?
Oh, wait, Matt Cross.
No, because he was already in the match. That was the other match. It was supposed to be a tag team match, remember?
Yeah.
Johnny and Josh versus... it was dudes on TV, EC3 and
Spud.
M-Dog. No, I'm sad it wasn't Spud.
DJ Z was there?
Yeah.
Isn't he from Cleveland also?
No.
From the area, he's more from Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah.
He wrestled in the AIW a lot. He was, when I first started going to AIW, he was the AIW's absolute champion, and then he started wrestling for TNA shortly thereafter. He actually had to forfeit his belt because he wasn't able to show up for tapings.
Yeah, that was when he was Shima, and was it Team Catfish that he ran around with in, what's that Pittsburgh promotion? Super Bowl
IWC.
IWC, Prime? Thank you. No, it was IWC. Prime.
Prime's not fucking...
I thought Prime was Pittsburgh.
No, Prime's Cleveland. Prime was Cleveland. Because the Prime used to be pro wrestling, wait for it, Ohio.
Shock and awe. Anyways, Shima being at the, like, I hate that. It's DJZ now, but I love that name, Shima Zion, whenever he was running with it. I get why they changed it moving into TNA, but.
I used to get Dan mixed up all the time because I would say Shima, everybody else say Zima, and he, like, get totally fucked up with what name was which.
But, I mean, come on, is that really an accomplishment?
That's not
hard. No. But me and somebody were talking about this the other day. I don't know why everybody has such a bad thing against this DJZ gimmick. He's a DJ in real life. He plays that arrogant, pompous role really well. I like that character, and I think there's a lot of weight to it in the X Division, which, let's face it, that's where he's going to stay. I don't know why the DJZ bothers everybody. Well, he's so much better than that. Yeah, well, you know, the cash and checks and breaking X only got him so far. At least this is an identifiable character.
I actually like that gimmick. I liked him no matter what. Actually, he made me like Bromance because I couldn't stand fucking Ryan. Yeah. That was terrible. But anyway, we're trailing off.
Yeah, anyways, what were we talking about? Because I had a point to what
best
I was saying.
I don't know, we were on Best of the Year.
Damn it, Heavy. You pulled a vamp.
Biohazard, what was your order we do you? Best of the Year.
I have two. The TNA actually getting a TV deal in place.
I think you just took DRG's.
No, it wasn't mine. I've got one better.
No, and then the other one was the announcement of GFW. I'm really hyped about just where they're going within 2015, and even this Wrestle Kingdom 9 that they're promoting off of New Japan. If you just listen to Jeff Jarrett's passion about the wrestling business and how what he wants to change within the art of professional wrestling, it really shows like where wrestling can go and where, you know, how bright the future is for professional wrestling as a whole.
I'm going to tell you right now, you better not let Vamp hear this podcast because he will fire you for giving Jeff Jarrett any sort of credit.
Well, no, I thought that was T-Mac.
No, it's Devil Vamp, because we went, remember when Dan was on and we had that whole little thing about when GFW was coming out? And he's all, fuck Jeff Jarrett, da 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 da.
Like, Jeff Jarrett, the wrestler, is another story.
Right.
Because in Jeff WCW... Jarrett,
the promoter, is completely different.
Yeah, WCW World Champion Jeff Jarrett, he can go away. I didn't like Jeff Jarrett, the wrestler. Jeff Jarrett, the promoter.
TNA champion Jeff Jarrett got really stale really quick.
Yeah.
But the thing is with this...
Triple J.
With this... GFW thing, the fact is that, like I said earlier, they're taking time to develop it, and he has the best possible affiliates in the fact that the first show that they're going to co-sign on or present to the U.S. market is Wrestle Kingdom. There's nothing better out there, in my opinion. There's nothing better out there that he could have chose as his flagship introduction into GFW. It has. I get where you're coming from, Biohazard, because I am just as hyped about this as you are. I think that it has potential to be something big and shift a major play for like that old NWA style affiliation of so many promotions in under one banner.
I don't know. I get the feeling that this isn't a GFW is not a promotion as much as it is they're promoting all of the other companies. You know what I'm saying? It's like GFW presents.
You have to go back and if you go back and listen to he did JR's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about how in the beginning that's what they're going to do is promote these other companies, and then towards the end of I don't know if he was referencing 2015 or toward you know going into it once they get further notarized. They're going to have their own promotion, their own stars, their own storyline.
Yeah, they will sign talent to a roster eventually, but right now to get the oomph going behind this brand, they're going to take the best of the world and showcase the fact that this is a global phenomenon before they start signing and promoting their own shows. So your concern, Mop, is the exact same one that I had at first, but the Jeff Jarrett interviews that he's been giving and all the stuff, the updates that he's been putting on GFW's website have kind of put those little things to rest and comfort my mind to understand what he's attempting to do. I highly recommend that you at least, if anything, go check out globalforce.com or whatever and see the YouTube videos that he's been posting. And that JR interview is another real good one. Even though I hate listening to JR interviews, that's a good one.
He didn't talk about drinking his Diet Peach iced tea this time, so.
Thank God.
That was a positive.
That's exactly what they're going to talk about whenever Dixie Carter's on.
All right, Katie, what is your best of the year?
Well, I have two. One personal one is, not that I'm stealing DRG's thought, but I was going to say being on this podcast as well. I've been doing it since July, and I'm a little surprised, and I think you guys would probably agree that I lasted the rest of the year, but I've enjoyed every second of it. I guess you guys can kind of tell by my sense of humor that I don't get really offended by anything. That's why I'm still here, but
it is.
I think that's why slowly but surely Katie, I'm sorry, went out the window.
Yeah, it did. I look forward to being on for the rest of 2015 and beyond, God willing. Oh, sorry, Vamp. I enjoyed being on here, being like a female perspective on this show. So, anyway, another honorable mention goes to Sting finally making an appearance in WWE. But to me, best of the year, I would say, is the reaction to people when Undertaker lost, because nobody saw that coming. I mean, the black guy with the glasses, he became a meme of the year just by his reaction alone. I mean, I would say that's the best of the year. Everybody's reaction to when Undertaker lost, because the air went out in that place. And even I stopped breathing. So
I want to know.
I think I'm the only one that when that happened, went like started kind of celebrating, because everybody else was, oh my God, I can't believe it. I'm sitting there laughing, clapping, and going, yes, yes, it finally happened. It's over.
I want to know how many remote controls had to be replaced that Monday. Because you know people were throwing those fuckers at the wall.
Probably as many that were had to be replaced the day after the Super Bowl in Denver.
Yeah. The first quarter of that game.
Well, they had to go to the store. Some of them probably went at halftime.
Yeah, I'd say it was a good... I mean, I was watching with a couple of buddies, and I would say it was a good 10 minutes after that match before any of us said anything. It was just kind of, wow.
Really?
It was sad, because to me, you know, Undertaker was, you know, what I grew up with. So it's he's kind of the end, you know what I mean? He's the end of our childhoods.
That's the real end of an era.
Exactly.
Not true. Sting's still around.
I don't like Sting. I don't care about Sting. Sting can fall off the face of the earth, and if they fucking call him the Vigilante Sting, I swear to God, I'm going to take a shotgun and shoot at fucking JBL, Michael Cole, and Jerry the King Lawler.
You should do that on sheer principle. Yeah. I grew up with Surfer Sting. I didn't grow up on WWE. I grew up on mainly USWA and WCCW and WCW. That's what my grandfather wanted to watch because all the WWE stuff was too much storyline. It was kiddie stuff to him. It was hokey and boring.
And so I loved every fucking minute of it.
Right, but since I didn't get to watch that all the time, and I watched Sting with the face paint and his surfer look with his awesome jackets, I don't care who says what about it, those fucking jackets were amazing. When I grew up watching him, that's why the transformations that he went through meant so much to me, and that's why I still appreciate him so much that I don't mind them focusing on him, because he is my childhood. He is the person that I focus on. When me and my cousin talk about wrestling together, because he doesn't follow the product the way that I do, that's what we talk about, is Surfer Sting.
Yeah, that was my first introduction to Sting, too, but I would say whenever he lost the Surfer gimmick and went to the Crow gimmick, I pretty much had no interest in him any longer.
All right, we are now, because I'm kind of lost, because DRG just talks way too fucking much.
Shut up, it's about to be my turn.
Great, more DRG talking. What is your best of the year? What haven't you covered in this whole show?
Dude, there's a lot that I could still talk about.
I know, that's the sad part.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's another one here that can go for a while, too.
Exactly. Me and Mopper Marathon Man, we don't do this two-minute squash matches like y'all like to see on WWE. We do Iron Man matches in the indies. That's what me and Mop are. We are the Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, damn it. We are the Kurt Angle and Brock Lesnar.
And if you listen to Heavy, I am definitely the bitter old man.
No, you're the earthquake and typhoon.
Dude, they could not go an hour. I don't give a fuck what you say.
They go an hour of talking.
They could do an hour of letting worms eat through their skulls.
I like them, damn it. Shut up.
Typhoon isn't dead.
You sure about that?
To us, he is.
Pretty sure he's dead. I don't know. Fuck it. I don't care. Anyways, my best of the year personally goes to the fact that I went to Slammiversary 12, and that was the turning point when TNA was really, really, really shit. MVP got injured, and that whole card kind of changed the direction going into the Bethlehem shows and then the New York crowds to where they actually got back to doing what they do well, and that's putting on quality wrestling matches. I was happy to be there. But my best of the year on a wrestling standpoint, AJ Styles. You can hate on the man all you want because of his breaking necks and cashing checks. But the man left TNA when people are like, well, nobody's going to pay him the amount of money. He's going to have to work all these dates to catch up with it. And yeah, he does have to work more. But New Japan took him in and embraced him and put him in such a spotlight. Everything that he went in, replacing Prince Devitt, there's nobody else that could have done it. AJ fit that role perfectly because he is one of the best wrestlers, and his matches this year have proved it. Him versus Suzuki, anything that I've seen AJ Styles compete in this year has been gold. He is an awesome performer to watch in the ring. He might not be the best on the mic and talking, but the dude, when in a ring, when the bell sounds till the bell rings again, is amazing.
Actually, it's a common misconception. You actually make more money as an indie worker than you do anything. Huh? Especially if you were in WWE, or you were in something like big like he was. Yeah, you now go from like earning shit for your one-time appearance for TNA for like their one showing, or what WWE wrestlers make per event. I think they don't make a lot. Something was told, like, it's like less than 1,000.
That's my whole point about why I don't understand an independent wrestler would want to get on TNA, even if it's just for a pay-per-appearance deal for 3 months.
You get there for the exposure because that hikes up your money.
Exactly.
So that whenever you go, you now get to go to some of these bookings now that you've been on WWE or TNA, now you're gonna make probably the same amount of money, if not more, but everything, like all your accommodations, everything is paid for, and that's not coming out of your total.
Exactly. And then all the merch, it's take home, and you're
paying. That's the other big two. Yeah.
Yeah, 5% to the promotion if you have a promoter that does that. Not all of them do. And even at that, only 5% off the top of, like, say you make $200, $300 in that night, plus the $500 you're charging for that night, you're making good money and working in arguably a better setting because it's creatively more freedom for you
you to do what you're passionate about. You get to pick your character. You get to play the role that you want to play. Because I view wrestling as an art form. These artists are allowed to create what they want when they're in the independents. That's why I follow indie wrestling.
So you go with your best of the year?
Chirp, chirp. Yeah, that's it. That's all I want to say. AJ Styles was been awesome.
Side note, Tugboat's still alive.
That's what I thought. It's actually common. It's a common misconception that he's dead.
Well, it's a common misconception that people care about him.
I would go see it. I'd like to go get an autograph on him.
Right, Bob, what is your best of the year?
Best of the year is WrestleMania as a whole, just the entire show. It was one of the best, if not the best, Manias I've ever seen.
What was your favorite part about Mania?
Favorite part is probably the Daniel Bryan part. Parts, mm-hmm. I should say.
Yeah.
But
his story.
Yeah, just everything there was fantastic.
All right. That's going to do it for this episode, because this episode's going to be a good 3 hours long. And Kat is going to bitch at me through the week for not getting this up. So where can we find you, Biohazard?
On Twitter, at the Biohazard King.
Katie?
At 81st Lady, and Happy New Year to everyone. Hope everybody makes 2015 a positive, good year.
I thought you were going to say patient.
I thought you were going to work in a bo leave. DRG.
You can find me at MRDRG_WIR. I am excited, even though not many people are, for what's happening with TNA and the 7th and what they can do moving forward. There's a lot of stuff that has potential in 2015, so hopefully it's a great year for us.
Yeah, Mop Jockey.
At the Mop Jockey and hashtag NFL Easy Picks on the Trending Topics Network.
And, of course, you can find me at Heavyset330, at NFL Easy Picks, at OH Wrestling Net, at Ohio Rapport. Report, depending on how you want to pronounce it.
The T silent.
It came out rapport, and I was like, ah, fuck it. And that will do it for us, and we will see you guys next year.
Bye.
I don't care.
He doesn't exist. He doesn't exist. He doesn't exist.